Fuck you.
No, fuck you.
Nerd off, nerd off, nerd off.
Konnichiwa, welcome to another episode of the Nerd Off, the Black Altus premium podcast for all of nerdery and shit like that, different pop culture and other cool things. This is another episode where I'm not by myself. I have a ton of people on with me this week, and first things first, I have to introduce the official nerd queen that has taken her rightful place on the throne after doing 75 nerd podcasts and claiming not to be a nerd. What's going on, Karen?
How you doing? Like I said, I am a new age nerd. I am that new generation of nerd who may not be able to do calculus, but they will do cosplay.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad you're back. First of all, you missed the last one.
And, yes, because y'all been doing them through the week. And Chris, I will say that I'd be jealous listening to you and him and Aaron talk, because I'd be at home and I have to like be like everybody else, hook it up through the phone at home, and I'm looking like, God damn it.
Yeah. Speaking of Chris, that is the one of the other people on the show, my man Chris from the Sandy Check podcast. What's going on, dog?
Nothing much, man. I'm here, ready to do this shit.
All right, man. I'm glad we get you back on too, obviously. We also got my man 50 Grams, been on the show a few times. Brandon from Where's My 40 Acres. What's up, dog?
Hot peas and butter. Come and get you. Put the money in the bag, motherfucker. Put the money in the goddamn bag. Put it in the bag. Hurry up. Come on. Put it in the bag. Just put it in the bag, nigga. Just put it right there. There you go. There you go. Add a bottle. Come on. Put it in there.
I don't know what the fuck
lager beer is. Give me some Redwood cigarettes. There you go. Hot damn. That's what I'm talking about. You shoot me my back, bitch. I kill your family. All right. Thank you.
Is that your Grand Theft Auto 5 robbing technique right there?
Yeah, I'm getting in the car right now. I'm going to speed out.
First time on the show for the Nerd Off, we actually have Najayla Reed from Twib After Dark, and also, you know, just regular Twib stuff, and also We Nerd Hard. What's going on, Najayla?
I have to say that your use of the Japanese language is really triggering for me. As a Korean Chinese person.
Oh, okay. Understood.
So I really want you to redo that intro and not use such harsh imperialistic language.
All right, no problem.
I'm just kidding. Hey, I'm feeling good.
Thank you so much for being on the show. We appreciate you coming through.
I'm so happy to be on like your podcast again. Hopefully you won't ruin anybody's career while I'm here.
I'm going to try not to this week. There's a couple people I could, but I'm letting it go. All right, let's go ahead and start the show. First things first, I have to go around the room, ask everybody the same question. What have you been watching? What have you been playing? I will start with you, Care. What have you been watching? What have you been playing?
I really haven't been. I've been watching like regular TV stuff, but I've been playing the hell out of Blue Dragon. I've been playing for the past few weeks, and I forgot that thing was like three CDs, like real physical CDs.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead and put everything where I can download it, because I know it don't take long, but the painstaking effort of that message that pops up like, hey, put in this too, and I'm like, shit. Now I have to wait a good 30 minutes for this shit to download before I can start my game.
Oh, because you have to install the disc.
Yes.
Right.
Every single time. And so then I get angry about that. So then I have to go, okay, now I got to be doing other shit besides playing my game. And then I really been playing the hell out of it. And I've been planning, having been keeping track of time. And I happen to be messing around. And for some reason, this game has like a counter up in the top right-hand corner that tells you how long you've been playing the game. And I looked up there, was like, yeah, you've been playing 175. I was like, God damn, I've been really sitting here playing the hell out of this game.
What game is this, Ken?
Blue Dragon,
okay.
Yes, and then on top of that, I was having technical difficulties last night, and man, I was furious. And Roger was trying to help, and I thank him for helping, and I appreciate him for helping, but I was so frustrated because the shit wouldn't do what I wanted to do. And he was giving me his, like, ideas and philosophies. And I was like, look, I played this game before. I replayed it before. It didn't do this shit last time. I don't know why. He was like, Google it. I was like, I Google it. And nobody else is having this goddamn problem. I was not pleased.
Yeah, so I looked it up on my phone before going to bed. And I found out the issue within, like, I don't know, a minute. And I just told her before she went to sleep, like, look. You gotta beat certain parts of the game before you get all your powers, access to all your powers. And that was all the problem was. But yeah, she was, being an attitude with me, the whole time I was trying to help. And I'm sure it sounded stupid to her, but I hadn't played the game. So I was like, well, maybe it's this. And she was like, it's the disc. The disc needs to go back. I was like, Karen, if the disc was scratched, the shit would be like freezing up. We'd have to turn the game off. You have to restart it. It wouldn't just like not give you access to a spell. It would like freeze when you played the spell. She's like, it must be this disc or something. I played the game before. I was like, I don't know what to tell you guys. Okay.
Can I just admit that the way she reacted though is such a nerd thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was a nerd thing when you're doing something and somebody who hasn't played the game tries to give you suggestions. You're just like, I played this shit before. I know what I'm doing. Don't give me suggestions. Even though those suggestions are usually good. That is such a nerd thing, y'all. I'm just telling you, Karen, you've been a nerd for longer than you think you have been.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
I mean, if the 175 hours playing one role-playing game wasn't enough to...
Right. I'm just saying, in the introduction, she was like, oh, yeah, I'm one of the new ones. I'm like, yeah, I don't know, yo. You put in some heavy hours in the Fable 2? Mm-hmm. I don't know about that one, yo.
And I probably paid a few hundred hours in that. I just don't keep a track of time. And Roger was being all very... And literally, he was being rational and logical. I clear he was. But I think he was being rational and logical. I was like, well, I ain't never played it before, and well, I don't know. And I was like, well, shit, it didn't do this last time, and I don't understand why.
Well, Chris, what have you been playing? What have you been watching, man?
I really haven't been playing anything. I think today I logged on to GTA Online for like 30 minutes for the first time in like 2 or 3 weeks. Still love the game. I just haven't had time to do it. The biggest thing I've watched the last 2 weeks, because I've just been so busy with NYCC and everything else like that, obviously, me and you did a show on, I think it was Thursday, we recapped season one of Arrow.
Yes.
And, yeah, I went through the first season of Arrow in, like, 3 days, because I was just so hooked on that show. I mean, I watched the first 4 episodes when they first aired, and I just couldn't keep up. Well, because of my schedule when the show came on. So I've been waiting for either to either get it on Amazon or for Netflix to get the first season up. So when I found out the first season was on Amazon, I mean on Netflix, I watched the entire first season and fucking love that show. If you're not watching the show, you're really missing out on something. So, yeah. So I got that. Obviously, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I need to do a recap of the last episode with Kev. And then the other thing I did, too, was... Yesterday, I watched Pacific Rim on Blu-ray, and yeah, the movie's awesome. Like, I get why some people don't like it, but yeah, that movie's awesome. So, yeah,
I enjoyed it. It's one of the few movies I bought on Blu-ray this year too. Yeah, Arrow, man, probably the best show that people aren't watching. So,
hands down.
Hopefully, we can get people to check it out. It's amazing. My timeline this week has been nothing but people going, yeah, man, I'm so glad you kept telling me to check out Arrow. I finally got a chance to watch it on Netflix, cause it's streaming on Netflix now. So if you have Netflix streaming, you can just go check it out, you know, season one. And, everybody's being like, yo, this show is great. And I'm like, why didn't y'all listen to me before?
Right. I mean, the crazy thing about it is I knew it was that good. I just hadn't had a chance to catch up on it. Everybody else is like, oh, no. I'm like, no, trust me, it's good. I mean, and when you were still riding for the show, I was like, I know it's good, even though I haven't been keeping up with it. I know it's good because Rob's saying it's good. So I was like, I had no doubt it would be good, but it surprised me how good it was. Dude, I finally, when we did that show on, I think it was Thursday, I hadn't watched the next episode.
Yeah.
So I hadn't watched the second episode in season two. I finally watched it. When they ended the show the way they did, I was just like, nigga. I gotta wait a week now?
Dude. For real. You know, the other thing, too, is I didn't want to overhype it because I hate when people do that. Right. So that's one of the reasons that I wasn't like, oh, you not watching Arrow? You stupid as shit. But it was just one of those things where I was like, yeah, you should really check it out. It's really good. I don't know. It's on CW. Yeah, man, you should probably give it a chance, man. I'm telling you, it's really good. It's better than you think. Like, I didn't want to be that guy that was just like,
right,
you know.
I don't want to call people stupid either, but it's just one of those things that if you watch the entire season of Arrow, and don't just watch the first four episodes. We said this. You watch the first four episodes of Arrow and think you know what's going on, you're going to be fucked up, because the first four episodes are almost like, they're like smokescreen. Like, you really won't know what's going on until you really watch the whole entire season. I was like, you watch the entire season of Arrow, first season of Arrow, and you don't like the show? Okay, I just know that we'll never agree on TV, movies, or whatnot, because I don't see how anybody can watch that first season and I go, that shit's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see it, you know? But, yeah.
Brandon, what have you been playing? What have you been watching?
Just got finished Running from the Cops, lost 3 stars, but it's another store around the corner, so I'm about to hit that up real quick, get ready for the yelling. And other than that, what have I been watching? I don't know. Fucking Sons of Anarchy, as usual. They're doing their fuckery.
Yeah.
With a bunch of filler and then great writer theme music. And what else? I haven't started watching The Coven yet for American Horror Story, but that's on the DVR. It's ready to go. And I watch Parenthood because I like to watch white shows that are very, very white, as if black people do not exist in America. And I would advise y'all people to watch the last episode, because the way they portrayed a very rich millionaire rapper was one of the most racist things I've ever seen on white television. It was, my dude was calling the guy bitch. Like, he was like, hey, my bitch, what's good, nigga? The only thing he didn't say was nigga. That was the only thing he didn't say. And I was like, but he's saying everything else. And he's got a chain on for no reason. And he has, like, pit bulls in the crib. Like, this is the most racist shit I've ever seen on this all-white casted show. And then at the end of it, they tried to show him being a good father. Mind you, he been running around saying shit and bitch and fool. And they was betting $2,000 a game on pool. And it was the most ridiculous shit I've ever seen. Like, this nigga, they asked him to make a donation. They was like, can you make a donation to our campaign? And he was like, what if for? And it was like, the education of the children. He said, I like educating the kids. I make a donation. How much you need? $20,000. That's it? This dude reached in his pocket and put out like 150 grand. Because niggas just walk around with 150 grand in their pocket.
Yeah, that is pretty racist.
Most racist shit I've ever seen on this show. And this show has done some racist shit. But this was by far number one. Number one racist, greatest shit I've ever seen.
So
people are so oblivious.
Are you watching that show that comes on after Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. too? Because that looks pretty white. The Goldbergs.
Which one is that one?
Yes.
I think it's called The Goldbergs.
Or something.
No. Oh, the only other show I'm watching is Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which is funny as fuck.
Yeah, I actually heard that's good.
That shit is hilarious. Like, people saying if you like Parks and Recreation, you'll like it. But it's actually a little different than Parks and Recreation. And what is it, Adam Sandberg? What is it, guys? I think it's Adam Sandberg.
Yeah,
that's his name.
That motherfucker is hilarious. Like, he's a sarcastic cop who's an asshole and is goofy, but is the best solver on the squad. Okay. And then they got Terry Crews in there, and they got the guy from, what was that show that got canceled that everybody was talking about was really good, the one about them being trapped in the submarine or whatever?
Oh, I haven't
seen that
one.
The bomb was about to drop.
I didn't see that one.
It was some shit that everybody thought was going to be terrible, and then it turned out to be good, but then they canceled it anyway. Like Ironside. Shout out to Ironside, too, for getting canceled after 3 episodes.
Oh, they did cancel that? Yeah, I saw the, I'm getting a little bit of static from somebody. I think that's you, Chris.
That's me.
Sorry.
All right. We good?
Nope.
Nope.
Yeah.
You're messing with me.
All right, I'll go and I'll call you guys back.
All right, cool. But yeah, so yeah, Ironside. I only saw the clip from they played it on The Soup, and like I was like, they can't keep this up for you know a whole season or even multiple seasons. It was he rolled into a crime scene. And there was like 10 detectives in the crime scene. Nobody could figure out what was going on. And he rolled in with his wheelchair and saw a gun laying under a pillow on the couch. And they were like, oh, my God, how did you see that? And he was like, you see a lot, whole lot of difference about life from down here.
He should have rolled in and been like, it should have made him say something really corny, like, even though I'm the lowest sitting person in the room, clearly I'm not as short sighted as the rest of you.
Right.
And
like,
then find a gun. Like, I might have watched it if they did shit like that. But they tried to take it too seriously.
And then when they caught the bad guy, the guy was like, are you really a cripple? And then he turned around and was like, you tell me. And I was like, yeah, this is not going to last because it's too on the nose. Like,
they should have given him cornrows, too. He needed to push a T cornrows. Yeah. In a wheelchair. Like, the story of Black Joe Swanson just was not going to do it for me. I don't know who wrote that after watching the Family Guy episode where he flew over the fence and broke the other, crippled the fucking robber.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, this was a bad idea for a show. It was a terrible commercial to promote the show. And Blair Underwood, I hope you didn't turn down any Tyler Perry roles to do this show, because Tyler actually be paying folks. Yeah,
it just really seemed like a force. Like, it seemed like one of those ideas where they came up with the idea and it was just like, what if we did Joe Swanson, but we combined it with CSI? And then it was like, well, actually, that, you know, that might not work for a whole series. How are you guys gonna work this into the whole thing? It can't be as simple as he's in a wheelchair, so therefore this show is different than every other show. It has to, you know. And then once you throw in that corny dialogue, I was like, oh man, this shit ain't gonna last. They treating it like a gimmick already. Aww, so
they should have just made it like Wheels in the Leg Man, like literally like Wheels in the Leg Man, and made it a comedy. That should have been hilarious.
Yeah,
what should have done was put the money in the bag, nigga. Put it in the goddamn bag. Thank you. Appreciate you. All right, I'll let you, boy.
Najayla, what about you? What have you been playing? What have you been watching?
I've been playing Ascend Wrath of Kull, which it was Xbox Live. It was free, so I downloaded it and then I forgot about it. And then I was like, what is this on my system? I started playing it, and apparently not many people made that decision because I only got through the tutorial. And on Raptor, I'm in, like, the top 80% of players. So I am playing a game literally nobody has stuck with. I can see why. It's incredibly glitchy. It freezes for no reason. And it has some of the weirdest multiplayer I've ever seen. And it was only made, I think, for microtransactions. So it's a terrible game. Don't bother with it. Watching, I actually just binge-watched all of Sleepy Hollow, all of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and because Hulu was weird, it just keeps on, like, I fall asleep and I wake up to shows I didn't want to watch, so I've actually seen an episode of The Goldbergs. I fall in love with Brooklyn Nine-Nine, a show that I thought I was going to actively hate, and it surprised me. I actually love that show. I think I like it so much because it doesn't follow any of the conventions that we're used to seeing. Like, Andy Samberg is the sarcastic cop, but it's very, like, meta in the fact that he gets that, like, lesson of the week. Like, he will literally stop the show and go, oh, I get it now. I'm supposed to be learning. And so they pretty much know what they're doing. And
I'm sorry. About it. I'm sorry, I remember the first episode where he did that during when they was trying to arrest the dude. He just had that breakthrough moment. Oh! Like, this show is fucking stupid, man. But it's great.
It's stupid unabashedly, and it's saying we're doing this comedy, and if you're with us, you're with us. If you're not, get the fuck out. And I want more comedies to be like that.
Yes. No holds barred. Just do it and have confidence in it.
Exactly. I don't think it would work if they were trying to half-ass it. Like, if you're looking for a cop show, go, like, DVR old episodes of Ving Rhames Kojak, which was terrible. But we're here to make goofy butt jokes. So I'm so with it. And I thought I wasn't going to like Sleepy Hollow either. Because I'm surrounded by reasonable Negroes all day. So it's very hard for me to watch shows and not completely question everything they're throwing at me.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of think Ichabod Crane is the most unbelievable white man ever to grace any screen of any size.
He is very unbelievable.
Aww.
Yeah, he's magically not racist.
Yeah, from an era where, I mean,
there was nothing but racism for dark people.
Like, almost you couldn't blame him if he popped out racist. Like, exactly. You'd be like, I understand, dog. Like, you were in an era where everybody was racist, and he was the most progressive white man of all time.
Doesn't believe in slavery, doesn't think black people should be evil, totally loves Native Americans, even though they were actually slaughtered by both sides during the Revolutionary War, but let's not get into that, I guess. Mm-hmm. And
facts only.
Yeah, stupid facts.
That's one of those annoying things. I'm like, I get what you're trying to say here and get what you're trying to do, but it's okay for him to be racist. Like, this is the one time
you could be
racist. And
put money in the bag, nigga!
Also, they missed a great chance to make a Sally Hemings joke, which would have gotten the show canceled, but would have been worth it.
I have to give them credit, too, because they did, to their credit, have probably the best slavery joke on TV in a long time when he asked Abby what was she doing free, and congratulations on her emancipation. I laughed so hard the first episode. Now they don't need to show it every time they show the show, because for some reason they always put that joke in the trailer for the opening of each episode, so they can stop that. Like, we got it the first time. But
he actually made two slavery jokes, because he looked at Abby and was like, oh, what was your family doing during the Revolutionary War? And she looked at him like, bitch, you know exactly what my family was doing.
Yeah.
And it was like a great moment that I'm like, we need more of this on the show, unless, you know, Ichabod Crane is this benevolent white man from one of the most racist eras of ever.
Yeah. But yeah,
I like how he just spoke great English, like, for 2013, straight out of the casket. Like, he wasn't confused. He didn't talk to anybody and they didn't understand what the fuck he was saying. He just no old English or anything. He was against that too. That was too racist for him to speak it.
That's a good point too. Although I can't wait for the episode where he finally gets a haircut, and because you know that's coming, the transformation to, hey, this is what he looks like, all fresh and new and not in these old ass clothes and stuff. So
So I think it's gotten messed up and it hasn't happened already. It's like, you've been having this guy for at least like a month and a half, and you haven't taken his ass to Target?
Yeah.
Give him some underwear or something?
Some clean drawers?
Well, you know what? That's the one thing that is real. It's like, back in the day, they didn't really wash clothes. They wore their clothes for like a month and a half. So it's like, keeping it real.
Yeah, he's like, what's up with these showers every day, though? Really?
You guys wasting water?
Y'all just gonna keep doing this. Also, shout out to Nicole Bahari. She's beautiful, man, and I love her.
You know, I was on a flight to I was coming back from L.A. the first time I saw the first episode of Sleepy Hollow, and I was sitting next to two hating-ass bitches, because they're showing the first episode of Sleepy Hollow over and over and over again. And all they're saying is, oh, she's too pretty. She wouldn't be doing that.
She's too pretty? That's a bad thing now?
Apparently, I guess so. According to these disgusting human beings, black women who are that pretty would be like a rapper's girlfriend or something.
No, it's not true. Very much not true. Like, I would love to show people, like, rappers, like, girlfriends and their pictures of their wives and stuff. Tiny has to be one of the ugliest women I've ever seen on television.
She looks like the Dark Crystal girl, so I'm down with
that. And this nigga, like, he lays in bed with her like she is the greatest thing on the planet, and I'd be like, there's no way I could go to concerts and have women throwing pussy at me and come home to Tiny's face. Like, it just, it won't. I know Tip is cheating. It's just, it doesn't make any sense for him not to be.
Hey, you know what Tiny could do when those doors close?
Yeah, that's true. She might get
smile and get plastic surgery on that face to correct some of that lip left over.
Ja Rule's wife.
Ja Rule also looks like a
DMX's like wife. Mm-hmm. Like, come on, bro. Like, yeah. she got 80 teeth up front.
Nicole Bahari would easily ascend to the top of the rapper girlfriend echelon up there with Kim K. If she,
do you know how many dudes would be trying to steal her from that, from whichever rapper was fucking with her? Like, I'm surprised Big Sean isn't having troubles right now.
Yeah, yeah. But also, I heard that in real life she dates Michael Fassbender.
Fassbender has dated all of the greatest black women.
Yeah, dog. Michael Fassbender continues to be my fucking hero, dog.
This nigga dated Rosario Dawson, and after seeing
a very impressive business.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, even though I hear he's like a woman beater, so
what?
The thickness of his penis is kind of like whatever if he's gonna punch me in the face.
Wait, he be beating women? Is this true, or is this just some gossip? Like, I need to know this.
It's like gossip, so I'm not gonna say I know.
I'm about to go look. That is what the strippers
are saying.
Who said this? Rosario? Did Rosario say this?
No, but there's a dick report out, and she was like, oh, he gets really violent. But her dick report was confirmed with those pictures of his dick. So.
Well, he was in that movie where they was transporting him his crazy ass somewhere, and of course that just became the rave after that. It was like, oh, it was like women was like, oh, I like him now.
Truth of the matter is, he seems like he's kind of fucking crazy to begin with. I mean, I like his acting, but I look at him and I'm like, this motherfucker might be crazy. Like, he has that crazy white dude look in his face, like. It's that look in his face, like, you find out, that he has, like, when he dies or something like that, he has, like, bodies buried in his basement or some shit. You're just like, yeah, Michael Fassbender, that makes sense. It's just, he looks like he's fucking crazy.
Well, as long as he was a serial killer, he'd be the one that would send letters to the cops dictating how they needed to carry out the investigation of finding him.
Well, yeah. I mean, if we're just going by looking like they do some shit, then, Michael Shannon has killed people.
Nigga, everybody he has ever come across in real life is dead.
Yeah, so I'm gonna wait till there's some police reports or something before I just hop off the Fassbender train, because that's my dog, man. I hope he ain't out here hitting these women, dog.
Matter of fact, I think General Zod played Michael Shannon in that movie. That shit makes more sense that Michael Shannon has superpowers and is from another goddamn world.
That's the other thing when Michael Shannon still gets me on some. Oh yeah, this motherfucker is
Michael Shannon. It's one of those people I can't imagine ever being a child, like ever. I don't think ever was the child. He just came into this world a grown ass man with an angry face.
Oh man, I bet you wouldn't nobody fuck with him, man. His face would just scare all the other children. Like, don't fuck with that one.
Now as far as what I've been playing, what I've been watching, I've been playing this game called Fear 3. And I played the first two a while back. I will say that the story gets convoluted and I don't remember the first two stories that well. Although I do remember that it had some stuff to do with like a girl who was
crazy.
Well, not just crazy, but she was like an experiment and like raised. She had like psychic powers and stuff. She was impregnated by the scientist that like was, you know, over her lab. She had two sons, and you play as one of the sons in the game, in 1 and 2. And in the first game, you don't know you're a son. You just keep having these visions and crazy shit keeps happening, and you have a power that can like slow down the world, and you can, which, you know, technically means you're speeding up your reflexes, killing people and shit. And then in the second one, you play the same guy, but then you find out that you have a brother and you have to kill your brother. And this third one is really freaky because you can play as two characters. You play as the original brother that, you know, has been beating the games, the first two. And then after you beat the game, you go back and you can play as his brother, the one who he killed in the last game. And by which I mean, like, when you're talking to him in the first playthrough, it's like a ghost kind of that you're talking to, and he still has the bullet wound in his head, but every once in a while he'll just kind of pop out and start talking to you. And let me just give a quick aside and say all video games should come with the subtitles automatically on, cause I didn't understand what the fuck they were saying for a while, cause everybody's doing such, you know, over the top voice acting in these games now, where I can't always understand you, but it's something important, you know? It's like pops was like, hey brother. So I was like, what, huh? So who is this dude? You know? So like, anyway, so you beat it and then you go back later, you play as the brother, except you don't have a body. You don't have like a physical body. So you can possess other people's bodies. Use them for a certain amount of time, but it's like a clock is ticking where you only have like a minute in each person's body unless you kill other people and absorb their souls during that time. And then after that, your body explodes and you're back to like spirit man, and you can only use your spirit powers, which is like you can like lift people up with your mind and like hit them with like some type of spiritual force that'll like explode their heads and shit. But it's a pretty intense game, man. And playing, scary. Yeah, and playing through both ways is dope. And playing through with the wireless Turtle Beach headphones is makes it even more intense and scary. So yeah, it's a good playthrough, man. I thought it was only gonna be like 10 hours of playthrough, but I'm going on probably like 20 or so, especially playing through the second time.
Yeah, I would like to say shout out to Chris, because yeah, this is my nerddom. I was ranting because my Xbox is in the bedroom, so when Roger comes, takes a nap and go to sleep, you got me playing the Xbox on one side and him sleeping. I was like, look, this is not gonna work. When he wanted to go to sleep and I had to turn it like down really, really low and can't hear shit. So Chris,
for the record, I didn't ask her to turn it down, but go ahead.
Oh,
I didn't. I'm a gamer. I understood. Okay. Just went in there and I was like, if I'm going to sleep in this room and Karen's playing a video game, I don't get the right to be like, turn it down. Cause I knew she was playing. I could have slept on the couch. So I just come in and go to sleep.
That's nerd love right there. That's some real nerd love right there.
And I just assumed that it was annoying him. That's why.
It wasn't. And I never said a word, but Karen just like flipped out, thought it was annoying me. And, Chris brought up getting some headphones, so she got some headphones now in the bedroom that she plays with. I forgot to ask Karen, how you haven't been on since you got the headphones. How do you enjoy playing with the headphones on?
I love them headphones, and the funny part is I'm hearing shit that I've never heard before in my life. And like I said, I've already played it one time for upteen hours, and so now, like, when my little dude run, he has like these footsteps where you can hear his feet hitting the dirt. It's like, I've never heard that before, because normally I'm just running across the screen and you got like music in the background as he's always running. So this is shit you never hear. And I was like, ch-ch-ch-ch. I was like, what the hell? Why? What was this noise coming from? Oh, he running. And now when people identify you and like detected, which means somebody has spotted you and they're going to come at your ass so you can go through the fights with them.
Mm-hmm.
And now I can literally hear them coming. So now I can hit them before they hit me and don't get no surprise hits. Because before I used to be like, shit, where the fuck did you come from? Mm-hmm. Now I'm like, I hear you, nigga. I don't know where you at, but I know you're around here somewhere.
And I've been watching Sleepy Hollow, which I won't repeat. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I'm actually on a podcast called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Cast, where we review each episode. Actually, Chris, I gotta ask you later if you want to try to get on an episode, and kick it with us, 1 week. It's been fun, man. Like, just talking to these, cause these people are like film nerds and TV show nerds, and they know shit like who directed what episode of Breaking Bad and like who musically composed the music for this show and that show. So like, it's cool hearing the other side of it. Cause I'm just like, was it good? Was it bad? Yeah. And how did it relate to the movies and the comic books? Right. And they're on some like, yeah. And did you know he also directed the episode The Fly of Breaking Bad in season 4? And I'm like, okay, that's nice.
That was one of the best episodes.
It was. Yep. It was. But you know, stuff like that where it's like, I wouldn't know who directed that. I just know if it was good or bad. So, that's cool. Enjoying that. And, I'm hate watching Sons of Anarchy at this point. I can't pretend that that's a good show anymore.
It's not. It's like terrible. I don't know if they've given up. I know they're trying to rush and end it. It's either next season or the season after that. Mm. But their first mistake was these fucking 90-minute episodes, dude. Like, this shit came out of nowhere.
90 minutes?
I thought it was a first episode thing. I didn't think they were, until I looked at my DVR and realized I had like 60% left. Or like, no, like 20% left. Mm-hmm. Because they're 90 minutes. Why?
Yeah. There's no point. And the thing is, like, when it first started, like, you used to do 90-minute episodes for special things, like, okay, the last 3 episodes this season are going to be 90 minutes. And you're like, oh, cool. They need more time to wrap up the story. And then when they started off the first 2 this year, I was like, maybe because, like, it's going to be so epic. Yeah. And now it's been, like, 5 or 6 weeks. I'm like, dog, y'all not writing 90 minutes of shit. Like, it would be cool if y'all was writing 90 minutes of story. But half of the fucking, like, it feels like they're filling time sometimes, because it'll be like, we're going to bring Nero down to the police station. We're going to let him go. We're going to bring him back to the police station. I'm like, this shit could have been one trip. Y'all just knew that y'all needed 10 more minutes of his storyline. And then, like, then they brought back my, I think last week was my breaking point, because they brought back the worst. One, I hate Bobby as a character, but that wasn't the problem. What they did was they brought back the chase scenes.
Oh yeah.
Full music montage, them riding on the bikes and speeding and shit. And I lost my mind, dude, because I thought we were over this. Like, they forced them into a whole bunch of episodes the season before this, and it was getting to the point where every week they had to have a music montage chase. And then they brought the shit back, like, I know y'all guys been missing this. We about to do it again. I was like,
but didn't you think they forgot about Bobby at one point? Like, I really thought Bobby was done. Like, I thought he was gone.
Yeah.
And then they just randomly, oh yeah, we gotta have this meeting with every Sons of Anarchy in the area. So, or in the West Coast. So we're gonna run into Bobby. And guess what Bobby's been doing? Absolutely fucking nothing. Yeah. He's been actually putting together four people to be his friends. He has a group of friends now. That's it.
Ah!
He wasn't doing anything special. He wasn't going out there on his own. He was just waiting to get over being hurt so he could come back. That's exactly what he was doing. The hurt was gone. So now Bobby's cool.
Yeah, it's terrible, man. But I think that's all the nerd shit I watched. Of course, Arrow. Y'all should be watching it. Season 2, even better than season 1 so far. Like, just starting off rampant.
Get into it because of the ads.
What's going on with the ads?
It's like, are you advertising Green Arrow, or is this a to exist underwear commercial? Like, it just seemed a little much.
Those dudes are pretty hot.
And cut, yes they are.
And they do a lot of Rough Riders workouts. Remember?
Yes, they do.
I don't know if y'all remember when Rough Riders tried to do the street workout videos where they show niggas pull-ups, like,
on the stop sign and shit?
Yeah, yes. Niggas will be doing like pull-ups on stop signs and shit. They do a lot of like that type
of
workout.
I've never heard of that, but it's gonna go in my Google search as soon as we're done with this.
Wait, yeah. You're in New York, and you don't, like, dudes don't be doing pull-ups randomly in New York on stop signs and shit?
They do, but I didn't know they got the idea from Rough Riders.
I was about to say, you almost let me down. I was like, that is something I actually want to see if I ever decide to go back to that city.
Yeah,
well, it's actually terrible because you're trying to get to work, and, you know, you have to open the office for everybody because you're the only one with the key, and then some jerk-off dumb cut decides, oh, I'm going to need to do some pull-ups on this scaffolding in front of all the people. And then you're late.
I just remember
that needs to be done on an episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I'm sorry. That sounds awesome.
I just remember it because back in the days of BET Uncut, that commercial used to come on.
I miss that.
Between,
rest in peace.
Between like different videos, and it would be like, y'all niggas gonna stop, y'all niggas gonna drop. Hey, do you need to work on your ass? I'm like, what is this shit? It's
like just
random dudes like doing free weights, but with fucking like inanimate objects and shit. It was like, yeah, you
pick up a rock, pick up a brick,
right.
Curl it 25 times,
right.
Go to the deli, eat a sandwich, come outside, pick up a random dog being walked,
right.
Curl it 25 times.
I'm doing
repeat.
I'm doing push-ups on a fire hydrant. Like,
remember to get eggs on your salad from the deli. Yeah. Eggs is protein.
you don't need a gym membership. The whole world is your gym.
Bacon bits doesn't count as pork, just in case you Muslim. Put some on your salad. Do a push-up. Go back outside.
In hindsight, I really wish I had bought it. You know, just because I want to see, like, did they actually, like, rent out a subway train to do those pull-ups? Or were they just, like, doing pull-ups around people that were eating their lunch and
going back forth to work,
reading the paper and shit? Like, move, niggas.
Niggas, that is a serious question. Are you asking, did a group of young black men who do pull-ups on random signs in New York actually do business professional setting up for this DVD that they put together,
or did
they just randomly bum rush the train and say, nobody own this car, we got this?
The reason I ask, Brandon, is because if you've ever seen like exercise instructional video, they always have the one dude that's instructing and then the three or four dudes in the back
background
that's doing it. And I just want to see that from a Rough Rider's perspective on the train in the middle of lunch hour or something. Aww. And I need to see, like, did they organize that? Or were they just like a nigga in the front being like, yeah, it's time to do push-ups now. And let's go. Let's one more. Give me one more. And just like looking in the camera and shit.
Were they attacked by people, dogs randomly barking at them because they were barking?
Yeah, I want to know the chaos that happened on that fucking taping now, because I never bought the bait, man. I knew it was going to be bullshit.
I actually want to see
on the internet. It's kind of somewhere.
Yeah. I actually want to see the workout, the Lox does, because I don't know if you ever saw that video where Sheik and Styles got in that argument about who did what in the gym, because them niggas was leaving the gym, and Sheik was like, nigga, you can't do as many dips as me, and Styles was like, nigga, I did 100 dips, I don't even know what you're talking about, I did all these dips, nigga, every dip was done by me, what are you talking about? And they literally argued. I was like, nigga, I gotta see these dudes' sessions, like, I gotta see how they lift weights. I feel like they just throw shit around. Like, 250-pound bar, bitch, cash. All right, you good? Good. I'm out. Tip time. I got to see it, man.
All right. Let's get into the topic that I wanted to have you guys on for. Both of you guys went to Comic-Con?
Yep.
First of all, man, I saw Brandon put up a picture, a bunch of pictures, like 100 pictures of black cosplayers.
Yep.
So there was 100 black cosplayers there?
There was 100 black cosplayers. It was actually more than 100, because if you read what I wrote, one dude told me no. So there was actually 101.
Mm.
And he actually got the good one. There were some bad ones too. So
there are a lot of bad ones that I did not take pictures of because I just didn't have my camera ready.
Now, see,
I
you should have took
sexy Mario for cosplay as inappropriately sexy Mario. So I was going to have, like, the mustache and the hat and, like, a really short skirt and, like, really high, like, you know, like the Nicki Minaj high heel boot things.
Yeah.
Nobody, that's the one thing I did notice is people don't really care necessarily. Like, there's, like, a certain type of people that go for, like, accuracy with these costumes. And then there's people that's like, yo, wouldn't it be dope if it was a red stormtrooper that also had a boombox? Like, it's just certain people, you know. If Mario
Earth is still my favorite cosplay, black cosplay of all time, yo.
Wait, LL which Kudar? One? LL Cool Dar.
Exactly. But that's what's cool about it. Like, that's what kind of got me, because I stopped taking pictures at one point because I literally saw 30 fucking Ezios from Assassin's Creed. And it was like, okay, man, you can't tell me that y'all won't all standing in line at the same Party City with this fucking costume in your hand, thinking, damn, are they going to be wearing this shit to Comic-Con too? Like, and then there was some people who was like, okay, I don't know what the fuck you are, but you look awesome. Like, you built this shit at home. I saw a dad who built proton packs or whatever out of, like, boxes for him and his kids, and he painted them a certain color, and they walked around with them shit. So I was like, nigga, that was a father-building experience. That's a cosplay Comic-Con experience. That's creativity. You know, ain't no arts in the schools no more. I like that. But then there was other people that just dressed up as Batman, like, from the $50 Batman suit.
There's one we didn't get a picture of, and I think Phenom had his camera ready, and I just didn't think to take a picture of it. It was the Iron Man costumes were the worst ones there, because
yes, sir.
You got to think about it. Iron Man is, Tony Stark is a billionaire, so it's like, when you put this costume together, when you do an Iron Man costume, it's got to be, you know, there's a lot of intricate parts there.
Yes, it is.
People had so many struggle Iron Man costumes. The strugglest one, though, I saw was one that was out of cardboard. I kid you not. This dude had built it out of cardboard. And the worst thing about it was, it wasn't even like a sloppy cardboard one. He actually taken time to, like, cut the pieces together. He, like, had them, like, Velcroed onto, like, one of these Velcro belts or something around him. He put so much time and effort into it. But it was so
still sad.
And I'm so mad I didn't get a picture taken of it, because it was that bad.
Maybe Tony Stark fell on hard times, man. You know,
struggle Iron Man. So it's weird. The Iron Man costumes were like that, struggle. I saw one that was paper mache. Like, it just showed struggle. The Master Chief ones, though, from Halo.
Nigga, they went all out for the Master Chief. There was actually a dude who was 10 feet tall in his Master Chief outfit. Like, he had on fucking boots that made him tall as shit, and he was walking around people looking like the real Master Chief.
I don't know if they Yeah, I don't know if it's a Comic-Con rule or something like that, but apparently you cannot show up to Comic-Con in a Master Chief costume unless you put some serious money into it. Like, these people came in looking like they were really some real fucking Spartans. Like, I was like, so if shit goes down, you guys got it, right?
Yo, and what's up with the Final Fantasy VII cosplay costumes? Like, that... is there only one character in Final Fantasy VII? And every person has to dress up like that one dude. And where do you get these big ass Andre the Giant sized swords from?
I actually thought they'd be Sephiroth. Like, Cloud?
They were all Cloud.
But most of them were Cloud.
Wow, nobody wanted to be the black ass coon dude?
Man, I didn't see him.
Actually, no, I did see one Barret. But I think it was a white dude.
Wow.
White dude, yeah. Wow. It was a white dude. So. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I just remember Barrett's background being something about breaking out of prison, and I was like,
"Oh yeah, that character is so racist." I've been going back. I have it on my tablet.
Mm-hmm.
Final Fantasy VII. I've gone back and played it. Oh, that character is so fucking racist. Like I almost wish that it wasn't subtitles and they actually had voice actors for him, because I can only imagine how racist it would have been, man, if they had actually gotten a voice actor to play him.
You know they would have got Coltrane.
Just play Final Fantasy 13, dog, because that character was racist. I mean, he did racist shit, and he was a fucking pedophile. Like, they really went all out with that character. Because there's a scene in the woods where you have to, like, you and the young girl have to lay down and go to sleep, and this nigga is actually, like, plotting on trying to sleep beside her. And then she sees him looking at her, and she's like, no. And then she goes back to sleep, and I'm like, that really just happened.
Wow. Is that the dude with the birds in his afro?
Yes. The big nigga with the afro and the bird in it.
Japanese people, just stop. It's okay if you don't want to put black people in the game.
Not to mention that up. That's also the one part of Comic-Con I kind of avoided. It's like the underground. We get you have to avoid, when you're walking around the showroom floor, and this is just me, because I'm like Karen, I'm a nerd, but I'm not that kind of nerd.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be careful where you walk in a Comic-Con. Stay away from the Japanese and Asian areas. I'm sorry, but they go a little weird. It's a little weird. I'm sorry, but it does.
Now, how so? Bro. How so? Can y'all tell me what was weird about it?
Yeah,
please tell me. They
have real weapons.
Well, that's where all the weapons are. All right. So.
They had 8 sword stations. Rod, I kid you not. Mm. They had like 8 sword stations, and they were selling real metal fucking gear, solid knives and shit.
Yeah,
you could push a nigga and pull his kidney out at the same time in one slice. It was
say no more. I would definitely say.
So you
stay
had
away.
The sword ratchetness right next to the barely teen anime with a bunch of people looking like they were barely teened and dressing half naked.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Barely dressed.
Barely dressed. Like, that's why I stay away from those areas. Like, everybody in those areas is barely dressed. And when I'm not talking about just, like, sexy, I'm talking about barely dressed. Like, you literally have no clothes on, almost. What the fuck are you trying to be? Is that really a cosplay costume?
You're not built for that costume either. Like, me and Chris had to talk about this a couple times. If you want to do cosplay at Comic-Con, you need to hit the gym early.
I say right. Fuck that. If it makes you feel awesome, you wear it.
Don't listen to her.
Cosplay is for the cosplayer. And if you don't like my cosplay, if my fat black ass really offends you in my cosplay, you could gorge your eyes out.
I feel awesome.
Hey, you can't look your skin in, though. Like, if it does not fit you, please don't come out the house wearing that. And I saw a dude, I have a picture of a Deadpool, a big dude in a Deadpool outfit, and I was like, yo, that motherfucker had the confidence to put on a Deadpool outfit and come out in it, and it wasn't like tight or anything, he's just a big dude playing Deadpool. I was like, shit, do it. And then you see people who, like, there's skin everywhere that just should not be out, and it just doesn't look good, and I know they cold, and I don't know why they put it on.
I'm gonna shock people, because, you know, everybody knows I'm usually like, well, Chris is always all against that. No, you know what, I'll be honest, the larger people in costumes did not bother me at all. You know what bothered me? People wearing Deadpool costumes who have no muscle definition. Seriously, there were so many Deadpools at New York Comic Con where literally they're wearing spandex and it's still baggy on them.
Well, there was a lot of Flashpoint Paradox Superman too. So
yeah, you're right. Like, at the very least,
I guess.
Right. at the very least, if you're going to do that, because actually there was a woman who did a Deadpool costume. Her Deadpool costume, though, because she was skinny, actually worked. Why? Her Deadpool costume actually had the little muscle pads in it. So it was like, okay, that makes sense. I can deal with that. Then there's another Deadpool costume. Dude literally had on the spandex and, baggy.
Now, what if he would have went as Teenage Cyclops? Because remember, he was skinny and his costume was baggy on him just naturally.
That would have worked, but again, nobody likes Cyclops, so nobody's going
to
show up as Cyclops.
That's another thing. I want to see more characters that you don't like that are not the main characters of shows, but might have dope or cool looking outfits on the cartoon. That's something that I felt. I was like, if I recognize you, like blatantly recognize you, it kind of gets boring after a while. But when there was other people you'd see, you'd be like, wait, who are you supposed to be? And you'd ask them, and he'd be like, oh shit, okay, yeah, I see what you're doing. Like, that's, to me, that's creative, and you tend to stand out. Mm. Versus the other people, after you've seen Ezio 30 times, you really just don't care anymore. Like, that's regular clothes at that point. Niggas just be walking around looking like they about to assassinate somebody.
Like, and I'm just saying, some people just literally walked around, and this is going to sound fucked up, but the reason why I'm saying this is because I went to Baltimore Comic Con last year, and me and Kevin were there. And there was this dude walking around claiming, this old dude walking around claiming, he was in a Tarzan costume. It literally had nothing on but a loincloth, right?
Oh.
And it got me thinking that Comic-Con really is the place to go for pedophiles. Because there were so many barely teen kids or girls or whatever walking around. And literally all they had on was the most skimpiest outfit you could think of. And you're like, what character are you supposed to be?
Yeah, that was my question. I had two questions. One, how can you have spandex and it be loose? What are you, 80 pounds? And two, what are you fucking over there in the Japanese area?
I have no idea. I hope not.
It would get...
Record, Karen, it's still Comic-Con. It's a public place. It's not like...
Right.
It's not the sex show.
I don't know about that, man.
I have pictures of open... Like, it's still an open area. It might be a bunch of people walking past you.
Yeah.
Like, you fucking in it, it's just a bunch of people, like, walking past you while you fucking.
That's what I'm saying. It's so crowded. A lot of people probably wouldn't even pay attention. Like, if you.
Oh, no, they would. They'd stop because a lot of people have cameras.
First of all, everybody's taking pictures. Second of all, there's so much media. We would have heard of the everybody was fucking on the floor of Comic-Con section at some point in our lifetime. It's just impossible.
You know what, though? The weird thing about this is, and if you don't find out. A lot of the bigger media places, and this is why I don't like doing it, I don't think I'll ever do this, they don't like going down the floor. They'll actually avoid going down on the showroom floor, because it is a big mess. There's a lot of people down there, but I like being down there, because that's actually where the people are. It's like, the interviews are nice, the panels are nice, but the floor, as crazy as it gets down there, like, that is Comic-Con to me. I mean, those are the people that make Comic-Con. It's like, it's crazy down there. I mean, you see some weird shit. I mean, there was, remember we I think it was a nerd. excuse me. I think it was a nerd. We were talking about this. Where remember what? It was me, you, and Aaron, and we were talking about that one comic book or the game designer that does those like draws women and just looking ridiculous.
I forget the name of the game. Aaron brought it up. Something like Legend or something.
Yeah. So it wasn't that. I don't think that game was there. But there was an artist there that was doing that kind of stuff there. And just like, this is weird. But people there loved it. It's like, if you have any kind of nerddom you can think of, you can find it there on the floor of Comic-Con. I mean, they had every possible, like, I'm talking about how weird some of the shit was. I'm just not into it. But other people were loving
it. Yeah, I probably would have definitely went to the Japanese section for sure. And
just avoid the sword section. I'm telling you, when we say there was a sword section.
Yeah, I don't know about the swords.
No, I was
like,
all up in the sword section, dog.
I would have avoided
it. It was several of them, and they were like huge displays. Yeah. And it's like, oh yeah, want a butterfly knife? Yeah, we can get you a butterfly knife.
I didn't want any of those weapons, but they were amazing, and they were like $20 and $15. Like, they had intricately dope looking BB guns, and honestly, I just don't want to own a gun.
Right.
Like, even if it's fake. But I could not deny the fact that they look dope. Like, I took pictures, I just haven't posted them. The weapons look cool as shit. I just don't want any.
Well, y'all were still in New York, so I'm sure walking away with those guns probably wouldn't have been too good.
At Comic-Con, you can walk. Let me tell you something. I seen a woman cussing an officer out in the middle of the street in New York. I don't know what be going down, But, like, he ain't yank her out of the car, nothing.
Oh, that's
yeah, true. But y'all still two black dudes.
Oh, yeah, we were way too black. Woman?
Yeah. Yes, it was a Caucasian.
Yeah, come exactly. on. Yeah, come on.
The other thing too is Comic-Con is apparently very safe. I went to the ATM on like Saturday, right? Some ATM was on the showroom floor. This is how like not worried they are about people. The ATMs there sometimes run out of money, so they have a guy come through and fill the machines back up with money. Now you would think that in a normal place, like it would be an armed guard going around with a lockbox. There was just a regular white dude walking around with a black backpack with money in it, and he would go and be like, hold on real quick. He would open up the safe at the bottom of the ATM machine, throw some money into the thing, count it up, put it in there, close it back up, and then he would say, okay, you guys can use the ATM machine again. That is what he did. He just walked around the different ATMs on the busy showroom floor with thousands of dollars in his black backpack to do that. Well, like, I've never seen shit like that before at all.
Well, like I was saying, right? The number one, I definitely want to go to the agent section. I'll try to avoid the swords or whatever. But one, I probably would recognize a lot more of those characters than y'all probably did. So that's one of the reasons I'd go there, because I'm definitely trying to see what's up with that
anime.
Yeah. And then the other thing was, and I thought Najayla made a good point when she said that, you know, and there's obviously going to be people of two minds on this, but cosplay does kind of seem like a thing for the cosplayer, like for that person to want to do, not necessarily like maybe how they're perceived will be one way or the other, but you know, it seems like these motherfuckers look forward to this shit all year
and plan on
and plan their costumes and shit, and they, you know, maybe they don't get in shape, but maybe they're not the most accurate, but there's something about I'm wearing my Deadpool shirt and I'm out here with my other fellow nerds that are also, you know, nerding it up too.
Oh no!
Yeah, I can tell you they're not playing in those costumes. You can literally look at it and be like, "Yeah, that wasn't planned."
I disagree.
That wasn't planned.
I will say this. No, I'm a laughing joke. Yeah. I mean, this was good because when you see something crazy, you're gonna laugh and joke.
Yeah.
However, having said that, I still have to get credit for exactly what you guys are saying. It's like they don't care. You know, it's like you'll laugh and joke at this stuff. They don't care. They still will do this, and they are into it. They are 100% committed to it. And that's why I say I disagree that they don't plan it. They plan it. It might not be the best planned thing. It might be crazy looking, but they put their heart and soul into it, and that's something you cannot take away from them. I mean, they fucking love it. And the only thing that kind of threw me off, and I think Phenom brought this up too, is I don't understand doing all that work and putting all that work into the costume and stuff like that, or, you know, and dressing it like this. And then, like, some people just kind of gave you the look like, you want to take my picture? Why? It's like, whoa.
That's what I'm saying. Like, as a person who had to walk around and look at
hundreds and hundreds of cosplayers,
like, that was my purpose, was to look at them. I'm telling you, there are people that you looked at and you went, yes, that was planned. No matter shape or size,
right.
That's not my only point. My point is that costume was planned, and there were other people that you could clearly see it was just like, oh, people do that, I guess I'll just throw this wig on and like, yeah, I'll just do that and put my panties on and walk up in here. And it was like, that's you kind of if there's good and bad in everything, there's degrees to everything. And there was just a degree to cosplay. There were girls who were larger, but their outfits looked amazing. It didn't matter, like, they put effort, and it wasn't something they could buy out of the store because they probably did not fit the sizes that the store carried, so they had to come up with their own stuff. Those get applauded. The ones who were just like, I'm going to squeeze in this shit that don't fit because I brought it last minute and I'm wearing it, like, that's what I'm talking about. I didn't find that to be enjoyable to look at.
Well, you know
what? Yeah, but I mean, like I said, to a certain extent, though, that they probably don't care. Like, obviously they knew that when they put it on, right?
Yeah,
so they were like, I'm doing this shit for me, not necessarily for you. So, like, I, you know what I mean, it's kind of like the people that make the whole, like, well, why, you know, whenever I'm like, hey, it's sundress month, man, wait, ladies gonna be wearing sundresses, then you always had to do is like, some of these women don't need to be wearing sundresses. I'm like, yeah, okay, like, it's still sundress month, you know, that's kind of Comic-Con, like, it's Comic-Con. Some of these people don't need to be dressing up. All right, cool. It's Comic-Con, and they want to fucking wear that shit. So
that's not my argument. My thing isn't that some people don't need to be doing it. My thing is, that's just like sundress month. My argument is that there are women out there who don't need to wear sundresses. My argument is there are women out there who might not need to be wearing the sundress they have on. That's my point. That's
what I'm saying.
Our point is, why do you think your opinion of what they're putting on their body matters?
Yeah, that's
my opinion. It doesn't have to matter if you're out and you're being judged, but that's the same thing as people don't have to put deodorant on either. But when you walk around the floor, you're like, holy shit, dude. Like, some stuff is, you're just going to be like, I wish you had.
What is...
You don't about now, it.
That does bring up another point that I did want to know. What is the smell like at Comic-Con?
I was going to bring it up. I'm glad you reminded me of that.
Because I've heard about this before, and I've heard that the smell can be unpleasant because there's so many people. There's a lot, I guess, a lot of people walking and going to different things, standing in line, and that, you know, it can get kind of funky up in there.
Yeah, I think what happens sometimes is they put those costumes on a little early and they don't shower properly. And it is, I thought it was, like, it's so bad that when they send you your press badges and stuff, or I think your tickets in general, they actually have, like, helpful tips. And one of the tips is shower and hygiene. And I was just like, oh, that's
terrible. That had
that's
to be
sad.
Yeah,
like, oh, that's just so joke. Yeah. And then I got there, and we're just like, yo, what is that smell? It smells like, like, sour.
We were in a tight area, too, Chris. Like, we were in the food area and the funk area. So, food with funk.
Oh, yeah. Food with funk is, there was, like, a little, like, food court down the basement. Mm. Not basement, but in the lower level. And, yeah, food mixed with some of these people's funk is just nauseating. It is.
It was like a barbecue muss. And I don't know if you ever want to smell a barbecue muss. But I will say this. It's not just like we're not saying that this is Comic-Con.
Yeah.
This is just festivals in general. I have the same issue when I go to hip-hop festivals. And I had the same issue when I went to South by Southwest. There were some shows you went to where you didn't smell anything and it was cool. And then there were other where you could look at people and it was, again, it was like that episode of Family Guy where he was talking to Christina Aguilera. It's like, you know how you can smell stuff and you can kind of taste it? I'm tasting you right now. You can kind of look at them and see that.
Now, Jayla, when you went, did you ever was there like a funk issue too or no?
Well, I think when you first get there, it really just kind of hits you. But then as you're there for a long time, you just kind of get used to it.
I was about to mention that. Cause
so it's like when you have, is it like when you have a lot of sex in a hot room and you leave and come back. And you're like, oh, it smells like sex up in here.
Something happened in this room.
Yeah. It's kind of like sweat, smegma, and sadness.
The first time we went in there on Friday, it kind of hit me, and after a while, I kind of got used to it.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's like holy shit, what is that? It is shit. Oh, okay.
Look, let me tell you, so there were some people that were just potent. Like when you're at Comic-Con and you can spot out the person that you smell, that motherfucker is potent.
Hey, now, were you taking pictures, Brandon? Now, was there anybody you took a picture of that you, like, kind of had to hold your nose because you were like,
no, the costume is dope? Actually, out of the hundreds of pictures I took of people, not one person that I walked up on smelled a mess.
Okay, so it's not anybody with the good costumes.
No, I
don't even think it was really the costumes.
That's what I was about to say.
It was regular people
just walking around. Yes, regular, and dude,
like it was regular people that just showed the fuck up. Like Chris said, they did not shower. They drove 10 hours to get to Comic-Con. They parked their car and overnight, and they just woke up the next morning and they walked into Comic-Con and they stood in line to buy action figures and comics that they could have brought from Comixology. But, you know,
and smelling it, nasty.
Just smell it, and you. And I'm telling.
I don't really get people who just go to buy stuff, even though, like, you know, I have friends that do the Secret Identities comic books, and they had a booth there, and their major complaint was, you know, they don't really move a lot of items because, you know, it's so expensive to get in. I really think people are going now just to, like, see the panels and the interviews, because after spending like $300 on tickets, that $45 action figure just seems like a bit much.
Yeah.
Were you surprised? They had lines wrapped around the arena floor for certain positions. Like, they had one that looked like, I don't know what they were because it's not my thing, but they were like tech transformer looking little action figures. Mm-hmm. The line for that shit was insane. Like, it was, these people just wanted these toys, and I don't know if you can't buy them online or something, but there were a lot of things like that, especially on Saturday. People came with money, man. Like Chris said, he seen the dude putting thousands of dollars back in the ATM machine.
Yeah.
It's because these dudes were spending money like that. They really can't care to purchase stuff.
I think, like, to me, like, the panels and stuff, like, we actually couldn't go to any panels because we had interviews and stuff like that, and on Saturday, I was just like, you know what, fuck it, I just want to walk around the floor. But, like, for me, the stuff you can get on the floor, it depends on what you're looking for. Like, to me, when I'm going around, if I'm going to buy anything on the floor, I'm going for the more high-end stuff that is something that's harder to get online or, like, for instance, I'm not from New York, so it's hard for me to get some of these stores that are in New York. So, like, for instance, I was looking at the first appearance of Iron Man, and they were selling, like, a low-grade copy. It was $1,500, which is actually, sounds like a lot of money, but it's actually a really good price for that comic, and I almost bought it. One of the posters I got was a Soundwave from Transformers poster. I've seen it online, and it was $70, but they normally charge, when I look at it on eBay, it's like $90. You know, so it's like, some of those things like that, you can sometimes get a better deal. Now, I will say something, you have to walk around, especially for the comic books, because you'd go to one, I would going around, shopping around, I look at one booth, and it was like, this comic book's like $1,500, go across another place, and have the same exact comic, same grade, $1,700. So you have to be careful, because some of these places are marking up. It's a bigger markup at NYCC than I see at some places like Baltimore. Like, Baltimore Comic-Con, the prices I saw on the floor were usually the same price I could find, that same value you can find online or something like that.
Now,
you can see them. They were kind of raising that price of giving you the New York, you know, inflation price on some of these things. So
now, was there a big difference or like the subculture between like black cosplayers and then like the other cosplayers? Like, do black cosplayers kind of group up, or like, is it one of those things when you walk by, you just give them the black head nod, like I do when I used to work at a cubicle, or what?
No, it was like the nod, no, but there were a lot of black families, like a lot of black families there. I was very surprised. Like, if you look at a couple of my pictures, you can see it. Mm-hmm. Mothers and their sons dressing up as characters, mothers and their daughters dressing up as characters. I thought that was really dope. That people's families, and these are people you could look at them and you could be like, okay, yeah, her mother did this because she asked her to,
right?
Not because she's a fan. And I think that's awesome that, you know, you're coming here and you're spending time and you're looking at what your kids are getting involved in and you're taking part of it. Like, that's
one of the best pictures I saw from cosplay that weekend was a black father who was Batman and his daughter was Robin, and I thought that shit was adorable.
It was so cute.
Aww. I mean, like, not only the cosplay, but you actually had just regular black families just walking around on the showroom floor, going to panels and things like that. It's like, I was actually shocked by that, too. You know, I was like, wow, there actually are a lot of black people here.
And,
like,
and they were buying shit, man. Okay. Like, they're actually interested and invested in this culture. And I was like, that's surprising. Like, the first day, I didn't go there and plan to take 100 pictures of cosplay. I was just walking around, and I just kept seeing more and more people dressed, black people dressed up, and I was like, I've been to PAX twice. I've never seen it to that degree.
Were white people mad that you weren't taking their pictures?
No, I took white people's pictures too. Oh, I just haven't posted them yet.
You, and do you think, being that it's actually in New York, that you are apt to get more black people than if it's maybe like the one they have in California?
You know what New York did for me? New York, like, for, because it was in New York, and I truly believe that this is because of New York. There were a lot of, more Spanish cosplay people there. A lot.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, so at times, if you look at some of those pictures, that's why I put in the description, if you're not black, my bad, because you're a person of color. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's hard to distinguish. There were a lot of, like, Puerto Rican and Spanish people doing cosplay just as hard as anybody else, and their numbers were great. Yeah. So, I think that was a New York thing, to be honest.
It was actually really good minority representation at New York Comic Con. I was actually kind of shocked by that. Not only just that, but even when we did the interviews, this is the thing, too, that got me. And I've heard from other people that did San Diego and some other places that New York, and this is good for me because I actually usually hate New York City. I really do. New York City and I do not get along. But when it comes to actually Comic-Con, I really was impressed with what they did with press. First of all, they treated us pretty much, as far as I'm concerned, like everybody else. Right. Like, we had our own entrance that we can get into. So we can stay in that long-ass line with the sweaty and smelly people. Mm-hmm. We had our own entrance. We had our own lounge up at the top. So that when we got tired of walking around the floor, I'd be like, oh, if you know where you are, I'm up at the press lounge. So we would go up to the top, sit down, just to keep decompress from everywhere else. And
that's how it's supposed to be.
Right, and that's how, yeah. And so it was nice.
But I know what you're saying, Chris. You thought it was going to be like some okey-doke shit. Because it happens all the time in a lot of these places where, like, shit online and the shit that you buy is supposed to be way more organized. Mm-hmm. And then you get there and it's some half-ass, like, yeah, here's the press chair. It's in the back next to the refrigerator. Just sit next to that. And you're like, wait a minute, dog. I was promised AC. It's like, yeah, just open up the refrigerator door. And there's some ice in there already, too. So I know what you said. Yeah. Like, it's fucked up.
Comic-Con cares about its press. That's why.
Yeah, but not just that, but it's fucked up. But in 2013, we're sitting around like, oh, they actually did what they were supposed to do.
Right. I mean, it's because not only just that, but it's like, you know, Movie Trailer Reviews, I'm a small publication. It's like, you know, I got, we do all right. But it's like, when we did the interview, I'm sitting across from one of the lady that we did, I think, what interview was that? Was that and Cool News. You know, we're all, when they did the interviews, basically what they had, we did two set of interviews. I was supposed to do three, but I was too tired to do the third one. Mm-hmm. We did Robot Chicken, and then we did The Venture Brothers. By the way, Doc Hammer is crazy.
They are out there, son.
They are out there.
They are out there, but in the best way.
They are awesome, but they are out there.
Yeah,
but
I follow them on Twitter and everything, man.
Right. The way that they did the interviews was, and I didn't know how they were going to do this. So we go into the little interview room. They had a little interview room set up, and I thought they were going to have the town up at the front, and it was going to be a panel. We would all just ask questions from the back, and I'm like, okay, this is how that's going to work. No. They set up, they had like five or six round tables, and the press would sit around the round table, and then they would move the talent from table to table, so you would get a 10-minute interview which each group of each person the talent. And so I just put it one of the day with our Aurora Chicken one is you sit at the table and you got 10 minutes to just ask them whatever questions, and it was so natural to do. And again, you have just as much chance to ask a question as somebody from a larger publication, and I'm like, that is cool to me. It's like, right. I got treated like actual press. I wasn't expecting that. I know that sounds crazy, but it's
just... Yeah, nah, it doesn't sound crazy. It sounds crazy, absolutely reasonable in 2013. Karen, were you going to say something?
Yeah, and it's funny that you said it, because it's like, unless you're like with the big publication, which a lot of times they always get kind of the best accommodations, you're like, it's kind of weird when you're like, oh shit, y'all did what y'all was supposed to be and treated me better than I thought you were going to treat me.
Najayla, what's it like for a woman at Comic-Con? You feel like the experience is like a little different? Is it about the same? I mean, you know, because I also, did you do cosplay when you went?
I never cosplayed at Comic-Con. I haven't done that yet. I probably will, but I just did cosplay. Like, I'm a weirdo. I do cosplay because I want to dress like it, so I make the costume and I wear it. I think the first time I actually wore a cosplay in public was when I was stripping, and I was Silk Spectre 1, and I don't think anybody really paid attention or knew, but I was cosplaying. I don't think I'm in the demographic that gets, like, a lot of the perviness. I'm 5'9", and I'm not a small, shrinking flower. So I think I intimidate more the creepy white men that I get bothering me. Okay. I have had guys like going, oh, you're in an Avengers shirt. Do you even know about the Avengers? And I ask them, well, do you know about the Avengers? Can you name me more than five people that have been in the Avengers? Can you name who's on the Avengers Northeast team? Oh, you didn't know that there are more than one Avengers team? Go fuck yourself. Like, I've had those type of interactions. But
okay. So, yeah, it is weird, though, because, there's this, like, nerd culture where you have the obvious, like, man, girls aren't into this. They don't like me, blah, blah. And then a girl shows up, and it's like, you're not one of us!
Yeah, exactly. Why? Yeah, why do you feel like you have to penis check me? I'm just here like everybody else having a good time. And even if I did not know it, does it fucking matter? I spent my money to be here like everybody else.
Man, I don't be knowing, Karen. I was there, and I watched the shows and stuff, but I don't like memorize characters' names and stuff like that. I don't know their whole biography. So for me, when I seen women dressed up in certain outfits of characters that I didn't know who they were, or I just seen women that put effort into it, period, and were buying comics and buying this and buying that, I said, this is beautiful. Like, this culture is genderless, you know, and that's dope. And I wish these nerds took more. I wish the dudes who are angry, like the angrier nerds, I wish they took more, stood and kind of just looked around because, nerd chicks is kind of fine, dog.
If you were gonna try to holler at a chick, I feel like the wrong way would be you don't even know who's in the Avengers, and the right way would be like, what costume is that?
That happens to me on like freaking OKCupid.
Wow.
What?
Yeah, on OK, like my first. And I'm sure I'm a nerd. Right. That's not me like going, I'm a nerd, I think I'm so cool. That's a warning. Like, we're going to have some very weird conversations about very specific parts of cartoons that don't matter at all. So I'm saying that is what you're signing up for.
So, dude, like, how many of these dates do you go out on when a guy starts off a conversation with, you don't even know who's in the X-Men. You trying to go out?
I don't go on these dates because I outright said when they send me one of those notes, I'm just like, I really don't look at my recreational time as a battle or a contest.
It should be enjoyable.
Exactly. So I was like, I'm not here to prove how nerdy I am. And I don't know if that's what you think is attractive, but it's not. So
it seems like a good way it seems like a good end would just be asking someone about their costume. Cause it's one of the few times where somebody's like, hey, kind of look at me and there's no extra pressure there where I can be like, so, is that a Silk Spectre costume like that? That seems like a much better end than you don't even know who was in Watchmen. And like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, looking at costumes, let me just say, taking pictures was pretty awesome. But I did get the vibe that I think some of them thought I was trying to holler at them.
Mm.
And I hate getting that feeling because then you kind of have to, I guess, give this weird disposition. Like, I don't know. Kind of get off this vibe of, no, I'm not trying to holler at you. I have a press badge. I'm just taking pictures, okay? Like, I'm not.
Well, unfortunately, there's so many of these creepy guys who will take cosplay girls' pictures and, you know, post them up in, like, a sexualized way and, like, charge people like it's porn. And then you don't want to be on this guy's, like, wank bank.
Funny thing you mentioned that. So I'm about to send a link in the Skype.
Yeah.
Because BuzzFeed did the, what's the creepiest thing somebody said to you while you were college?
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
They did this at New York Comic Con. I remember seeing some of these women, I believe, there. I'm going to send this to you. The other thing, too, is, I'm not going to lie, nerd women, they were actually, the first thing I noticed was, like, there were actually some fine-ass nerd women at Comic Con, and if dudes just weren't being fucking creepy, they would probably get laid. I mean, it's like, you don't have to be creepy to do this. And they weren't like, out you would see them like, that woman's actually, and not even cosplay, it's just like, that woman's actually kind of fine. And
you got to kind of tell the difference, though, too. There are some women at those things that are paid.
I
can tell those.
Yeah, when I posted.
Being attractive and being paid to do it doesn't mean you're not into it. Like, I don't.
Right. Oh, no, I'm not saying.
There's a lot of, like, porn stars and, you know, web pinup girls that they do the porn and the web pinup to pay for their cosplay and to pay for all their, like, nerd accoutrement.
Yeah.
So, I always feel like kind of weird. Like, oh, well, they're paid to be here because I went to an anime con because I was a booth girl.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have been able to go because this is when I was, like, a teenager. I think I was, like, 19. I would have been able to afford to go myself. So the only way I got to go was because I was dressing in Lolita to be this guy's booth girl. So I don't really get
I actually think it's the dudes that are paid more than the females are. They're just like dudes walking around there.
That's understandable. Pin up
everything. Like, whatever the dude magazine is that women order.
God.
I was like, yeah, homie. Like, you're clearly a model. And that, like, the fact they got you walking around in this Roman turban shit.
So there's dudes that do this too.
Yeah.
Oh, nobody ever talks about them.
No, everybody always talks about the women.
I'm glad I had y'all on the show.
As a male cosplayer, we had some fun with his Red Hood cosplay. But,
I mean, there's male booth babes, though. Like, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But this, he was a bodybuilder, so he looked very nice.
And but. They, but did he get paid or he just liked to dress up?
Oh, he just liked dressing up.
Yeah, I'm saying there's dudes that get paid to go there and, like, put on a loincloth and yeah. make that money.
That's, there are women at this. There are a lot of women at this convention. Yeah. And there are dudes who walk in. There were there had to be dudes there whose muscle mass was like double their weight, and their fucking BMI were perfect.
Oh, there's one like the black dude that was Kratos.
Wow, yeah,
I saw a couple of those dudes. Like I didn't just see one.
Oh, the funniest black cosplay we had though was the Midget Bane, because that dude was
the Midget Bane. Picture got to go up soon. Midget I forgot about that picture.
Was killing it, dude. Yeah. Like I swear, dude was like 5'2", mm-hmm. but his Bane costume was so on point, dude.
Nigga, Mitch Bane could bench press me.
Right.
Like, Mitch Bane strong as shit, okay?
Yo, he, Brandon left to go get the picture. He was like, yo, I have a good picture of Mitch Bane. And when he stopped, I was like, oh, this dude about to rock Bane, about to kill Brandon. You know? Like, I was like, Brandon got to be careful when approaching Bane like that. You know, Bane on play.
A duffel bag that was bigger than he was, and he had to put it down. Like, that's how I know he's strong as shit. He was literally carrying a duffel bag that was 2 times bigger than he was.
To get back on, like, the kind of, like, the underground sexism of this shit, like, yeah. One of the dudes was handing out, just a regular guy, was handing out something for some random vampire cosplay shit. It was something weird. Really weird. Just wait. But instead of just explaining what it was, it was like, yo, half-naked women. Half-naked women, and I'm just like,
oh, wow.
They had a booth, Chris. Like, did you see their booth?
Yeah, no, they had a booth, and that's what he was trying to get me to go, I guess, go to the booth and find out more information about it. But, like, his line to me was right. Half-naked women. Like, that was, like,
right.
To get me to go.
Yeah, the other one was,
say, half-naked women. It's like, mm-hmm. Nah, dude, I'm good. I'm fine. I'm okay.
But they had the other one who was like, come chill out with a porn star. Like, he just walked through the people and was like, have you ever met a porn star before? And wow. Like, these two nerds was like, no. He was like, want to come in and meet one and talk to him?
Oh, yeah.
And
they're like, yeah, sure. Like, down in the basement.
That's so creepy. I would love if he had asked me that. Like, ever chilled with a porn star? It's like, yeah, a lot.
Also, to be quite honest, just chilling with a porn star, probably not what those dudes like. We're planning to spend that money for. Like,
you'd be surprised. They were charging for pictures with a Playboy bunny down in the basement. I mean, not the basement, but the lower level. And dudes were doing it.
Oh no! That's not what I'm saying, Chris. That's not what I'm saying. Dudes do that all the time. Dudes do that with strippers. No, I mean, in their brains, when you go, you ever chill with a porn star? Those dudes' brains went and got my dick sucked. No, that's not what's gonna happen. You about to go down there and get fleeced? Go ahead. She gonna be down there playing Xbox and shit like, yeah, dog, I'm, what's going on, y'all? I'm Kelly Devine. So.
That'll be
$40.
Serious? Yo, and not only that, but she's kicking their asses in it too.
Right.
Dog.
Right. It's like, yep, that'll be $40. You just lost in Street Fighter. $40 more dollars to play game too.
That would be pretty dope.
Oh
my
God. Oh yeah, and I'm starting a new Tumblr. Mm. It's called Chris Almost Chris Randomly Walks By Stan Lee. Because this is the second time that I've been walking around and Stan Lee has randomly walked past me.
Now, actually, you bring that up, and that was one of the questions I had after the booth babes thing, which I'm glad I found out there's booth dudes.
And that's true, and I do have a
never mind for my question. Go ahead.
No, you can ask your question, but I don't want to go back after you change the topic. Mm-hmm. But it's funny how when Najeda was talking about how dudes approach you at Comic-Con, it's amazing how the dudes like pussy, but yet they run the pussy away when the pussy is there. Maybe am I the only one that don't comprehend this?
Well, that's been happening since before we were even existing. And then also, like, that's just a natural thing because it's funny though, because I want to go to a Comic-Con so I can see it for myself too. Because there's like the dichotomy of just, you know, femininity where it's like, there's some women that are there, they're looking great in their costumes and shit, and if a dude hits on them or something and it's the right guy, then he's getting them digits or whatever, and that's cool. And then the same lady, another dude hits on her the wrong way, and that dude's a creep, and all, you know, shit needs to stop and blah, blah, blah. So I think it kind of runs both ways. Like, somebody probably likes that rougher approach or something, or maybe some chicks completely get creeped the fuck out by it. And there's you never can tell until these do until somebody tries it almost. And
you know what it reminds me of? It really reminds me of OkCupid, because I feel like the creepy dudes have ruined it for the nice guys. Yeah. And what I mean by that is, like Phenom was saying with taking these pictures of these women, it's like a lot of them, I could even see, even if they were open to him taking their picture, they were kind of like hesitant about what he really wanted.
Right.
You know, even if it was, I just want to get a picture, I want to talk to you about your car. It's like they're very hesitant because it's like they're so used to guys coming up to them and being rude assholes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's kind of like, okay, Cuba, when you send a message to a woman and you're like, hey, and you're trying to talk to her, and she's just like, well, okay, what do you really want?
Right.
Like, you just want to see my boobs. Like they get sick and tired. It's like it drains on them because, yeah, like, they're always attacked that way, and right, it sucks because a lot of them are, you know, doing good things. I mean, they're women that are like, just, there's the nerd culture is everything else, and yeah, they can't fully enjoy it like I can. Like I could go around in my nerd shirt, take pictures, go and enjoy it. Women that cosplay, or just women in general that are there, kind of can't do that because it's always something going on. Like, I rarely saw, like, I was going around we kind of split up. Me and Fina, we walked around the...
We got separated every time we tried to stick together.
Right, right.
It was just impossible.
Right. But I rarely saw a woman walking around by herself, and it hit me, I was like, they probably can't.
Yeah.
Because, mm-hmm, like, nope, every time you do that, every step you take, somebody's, you know...
That's a risk I wouldn't be willing to take.
Right, and it's like, it kind of
sucks. That's crazy.
That they can't enjoy it the way I can because some asshole dudes out there are too immature or haven't, you know, yeah, been around women enough to know how to fucking deal with a woman who likes nerd shit. It's kind of infuriating at times. You're just like, damn, that kind of sucks. So there are fine women here. There are women that, you know, just not even just fine. There are women here that just like doing the nerd shit. It's like, yeah, we should.
There was one girl who was grown up with her father there, like,
right.
And I wanted it's the chick in the like the Tomb Raider outfit. She was walking with her father, and I figured it was her father. So when I asked her for a picture, because she put her outfit together, it wasn't something she bought from the store. And I took the picture, like, I was already weirded out, like, and there were a lot of pictures I didn't take because they were with their fathers, and I didn't want it to get that awkward fucking feeling.
Right.
There's a dude trying to take a picture. I even had one mother who kind of looked at me like, why are you taking my daughter's picture? But her daughter was in full dress up. I mean, the works. She had everything. She had her face done. Yeah. She had her nails done. She had her outfit was out there. Like, she put work, hours of work into her outfit.
Sometimes the work and the outfit isn't for showing off, it's because you want to do it. Like, I will cosplay in my apartment by my damn self.
But I have a question. So, but I guess,
I mean, but maybe the girl wanted to take the picture. Like, the girl was like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, she had her pose ready and everything. And by the way, any picture that I took where there's a pose, I did not ask them to do that. They did that on their own.
Right.
Okay.
They just did it.
Maybe I'm the only one that don't understand this. You're at Comic-Con and you're doing cosplay, and people are there with billions and billions of cameras. Somebody's going to ask you for your picture. Like, maybe I'm the one like, well, then don't dress up if you don't want somebody to ask you for your picture.
Well, you know, but it's kind of like what I talked about on the show before, where it's like young woman problems. You know what I mean? Where it's like, I want to go out and I want to do blankety blank, and this is what I feel inside, and that's how the world should understand and receive me. It's like, that's cool. But the world is like,
it's crazy.
The world doesn't have psychic abilities.
No,
so you're gonna run into somebody that's gonna need clarification. Like, so, can I take a picture in the stormtrooper suit? No, you know, how dare you? It's like the Dave Chappelle joke where it's like, this might be a hooker's uniform. You know, it's like, you're gonna need, somebody's gonna try to take your picture. And if you're the person that dressed up but doesn't want people to take your picture, there's going to be a bunch of awkward conversations because there's going to be people that are not going to know that because other people
asking,
are there.
It's just as weird asking as it is getting asked. Okay.
Yeah. Like, and then, but also there's other people there that do want the pictures taken, and there's no, like, maybe they need to go with, you know what? Now I think about it, maybe they should adopt the same thing as a sex club.
Yes.
Where you get like a wristband that's like, this person doesn't want their picture taken, and this person does. Like, Comic-Con should probably think about that.
Actually, that would be actually kind of cool.
Yeah, you know, I go to a lot of conventions, most of them sex-related, and that's pretty much standard across the board.
Yeah.
You have like a sticker you put on your badge or a color that you could wear so people know I don't want my picture taken. And also, you know, I'm shy, don't, like, come in my face.
Yeah, Comic-Con should do that.
Yeah, no, they should. Because, like I said, it's hard. And actually, that's why I let Phenom take most of the pictures, because it's just like, let him handle that, because it's like, it is weird asking, and you don't, it's just, again, I bring up the OkCupid thing, because it really is like that. It's like, mm-hmm. you want to take these, like, I feel like you take these pictures, and you're already assumed to be a creep. So it's like, you got to show your press badge, and show, you got to prove to your, prove to them
yeah.
that you're not a creep before
you know what's weird? Whenever I've covered, like, whatchamacallit, they went down. I forgot. It'll come to me eventually. And there were a lot of cosplayer there. Wizard World. I covered Wizard World, and I had, like, no problem taking pictures, but I was with a male, and he would, like, feel very... He was feeling the same things you were feeling, but I think for me, asking another woman, oh, I'm here right. with, you know, whatever See. Paper I was on, can I take your picture for the paper?
Right. Because we're not savages.
Right. I wish they would have just gave me a shirt that said "Works is doing press for New York Comic Con."
I'm not a savage.
Because yeah. if really, so that too, I don't want the "I'm not a savage" shirt. I feel like people are gonna start wearing it that are savages.
Yeah,
I mean it really, right. Because no, you trick you. See some of the guys, and you would walk by and you would hear some of their conversation. And you're like, oh come on, dude, like you can't do this. Like
yeah.
like I sent you the link to the preview thing they said to some of these women. It's like
right.
dude actually said this shit. It's like. You see a chick that has her breasts hanging out of her costume. It's like, yeah, dude, I know. It looks awesome. Her breasts are amazing. You don't have to say shout it across the room. All right? Right. It's like simple things like you should do that when you see a beautiful woman in a hot costume, act like a normal human being and act like you've seen it before. But no, they can't.
Also, like, because this gets passed up, and we had an actual conversation on the show about this a long time ago. Where a lot of dudes think that they're quote unquote good guys and I'm a good guy. Why don't these girls want to holler at me? And it's like, no, you're just a bad guy that doesn't like sell drugs or
yeah.
kill anyone, but you still like, have some fucked up views.
Every guy I come across has always ended up, like trying to lure underage girls or sending pictures of his dick to young girls.
What in the?
So, like, wow. You guys can see that, like, Tumblr scandal with, like, the nerd king of Tumblr, like, showed his penis to a whole bunch of teenagers or something.
Wow, my goodness.
It was that really skinny Indian dude with the bow tie.
Right.
Yeah, apparently he's disgusting, so he's been banished from Tumblr. But I think the guys who want credit for being decent human beings
right.
should be avoided. Because everyone's yeah. real nice human being. Like, Elon, for me, is, like, a quintessential actual... nice guy. Yeah.
Yes, he is.
And he doesn't think of himself as a nice guy.
Right.
Like, when I use him as, like, because he knows he's my, like, barometer of goodness, and he's like, no, I'm terrible. Me? That, right. That's a good sign.
When yeah.
he's like, give me cookies for not raping you.
Right.
Get away from them.
That's the thing I was going to say is, what happens is a lot of these people are like, well, we're nerds, and you know, we're going to work every day. We're not these drug dealers. We're not crazy about messing with these women and stuff. But then when you get them grouped together like this, you will have that kind of still the, you know, for lack of a better term, the football environment where you have the, look at them titties. It's like, now, dude, you know, you wouldn't have said that shit.
Peer pressure, that rape peer pressure is right. what's going to end up coming from that. When right. you get a bunch of those dudes around each other.
Yeah, and also, it's like now they want to be bold.
Right. And they're just, well, actually, they're just fucking common decencying up. Yeah. So, that's just weird shit.
But not only that, but one thing I also noticed, too, you're starting to get, they're not your normal Comic-Con nerds anymore. You're getting some regular dudes just showing up. And yeah, I think yeah. one thing they're showing up for is to look at the women in hot costumes.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And that then adds into another level of, okay, you're being a creep and a savage now. You're now yeah. scaring people. Like, you know, and it sucks because you get some really good costumes. Like, one costume I saw, and I actually took the picture for the dude, and I didn't take the picture for myself, where it was Kick-Ass and Night Bitch from the Kick-Ass 2.
Oh.
Yo, it was a great... costume. I mean, I saw a lot of Kick-Ass there,
yeah.
but he had the great Kick-Ass costume, and her Night Bitch was awesome. She looked really just like the chick that played in the movie. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. I was like, oh, if she wasn't walking around with him right now, though, the amount of shit yeah. she would be dealing with would be just unreal. Because I mean, it's a skimpy outfit. It is, you know, it's
yeah.
You know, and that's just what it is. And it's like the amount of shit she would be getting right now is ridiculous.
I feel bad for some of the women with these signs though, because their creepy comment wasn't as bad as the other people's creepy comments.
Yes.
Is that sad that I'm kind of like, oh, no. You know, you deserve a more creepier comment because, you know, your costume is actually even more accurate. Like, somebody only asked Batwoman if she was married. And I feel like you could get way more creepier.
Because they can't see her fingers, so they have to ask.
They might have genuinely been wanting to ask her out for a drink. Like, I think there should be a creepier comment that maybe she got asked a creepier one. She couldn't think of it at the time. But I feel like somebody said something worse than, are you married? You know,
yeah. It was probably the way the guy said it.
Cause here's, yeah, maybe that, are you married or some shit? Cause like,
yeah, Michael Shannon-y.
Yeah, cause like other people.
Ben's voice, yo, it's like, are you married?
Cause like Najayla says, well, that can be creepy. And I agree, it can be creepy. But when it's underneath, I bet with that creamy skin, you taste like a vanilla cupcake. It just doesn't, are you married just doesn't like quite have the creepier
and it gets ring worse. To it.
Can I take my shirt off in a picture with you?
Come on now.
Seems way, like when I first saw that, I was like, that's not that creepy. I mean, maybe he would, then I was thinking like, who the fuck takes their shirt off in a picture with another person they just met? That is creepy as fuck, sir. Have a seat.
Like, dude, yeah, I'm sorry, and this is other thing too, the number of dudes, and this is where we come back to the whole, sometimes your costume just isn't really a good cosplay costume. The number of dudes who decide they just want to take their shirt off.
I'm just going to walk around with my shirt off, with it wrapped around my head.
Right, and just claim they were some kind of character. No, that is not cosplay.
cosplay, dude.
That you're just walking around, you just want an excuse to walk around with your shirt off, dude. It's like, it is...
Hold up, there's one where there's a black female Darth Vader and the dude says, I can't believe I'm really meeting you. What?
Mm-hmm. I don't get that.
But you don't know her. You didn't.
That's creepy as fuck.
What the fuck
that's
is that?
That is
the creepiest one I saw.
Wow.
Yeah, I think number 13 is really creepy.
Look at the tits on the Scarlet Witch is pretty good. That's pretty creepy.
Yeah, also, a lot of people dressed up as Scarlett Johansson's character from Avengers or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
All of them have protection, thank God, because there's no way you can wear that outfit as a female, in my opinion, and walk around and not need probably a dude beside you.
Yeah, dude, read number 13, baby. That one was
and Chun-Li.
Number 13.
Yeah, that was my first costume, and then I wore it, not at Comic-Con, but at Anime Next. Which is something they have in New Jersey, and I never wore it again.
You know, Chun-Li is a very universal character because, like, as far as like doing cosplay for it, mm-hmm. because there were a lot of people. There were skinny Chun-Lis, there were thicker Chun-Lis, there were even like just big girl Chun-Lis, and it never looked bad. It was just a universe. I don't know why her outfit or costume or whatever just worked.
Yeah.
Wow.
I have big breasts and very thick thighs, so I felt like this works for me. But then I did it, instead of wearing like brown leggings, I wore just like stockings that had like camo stockings, because that's how they draw it sometimes. And there was a guy who just kind of started touching my leg.
Okay.
It was like, oh, I just wanted to see what material you used. Is that nylon? Fuck? I was just like, wow, you need to get away from me.
That's
like,
why we have, first of all, he didn't want to, but also that's why we have words and questions. Like, you could easily just be like, what material is that?
Well, no, see, that's the other thing. Nerd guys don't use words and questions.
Oh.
They use awkward stares.
Somebody asked.
Just awkwardness.
Somebody asked number 13, and that's words with questions. She was cosplaying as Daenerys Targaryen for people that watch Game of Thrones, and he said, how does it feel to be raped by your boyfriend?
You know what? Goodbye, sir. Like, can we just arrest him?
Because, you know,
why would you think that's okay? Yeah. That's not okay.
You said rape around a woman, period. Like, you know, unless y'all are discussing something like a culture or doing a panel or something, the word rape should not come out of your mouth around a woman ever at all. Just don't say it.
Horrible. They've added more since the first time I saw it, and Jesus Christ, my 4-year-old is coming tomorrow. This picture is for me. Wink.
Oh.
I'm sorry?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Number 23.
I do like the Poison Ivy one where the dude just says, that ass.
Yeah.
that ass. By the way, her.
Some of these things.
That's a normal nigga thought, though.
Yeah, and also her face in the picture, though, makes it look like a compliment. And I'm sure she was, like, creeped out by it when it happened. But it's just funny that the face she had is like, I do got a nice ass.
Some of these things are like those. These are supposed to be your internal thoughts, dude. You don't say it out loud. Like the same thing with the tits and the scar. It's like say it in your head or to your boy quietly. You don't say it to her face. It's like they'll say it to their face. Like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Sadly, yes, they are.
You can kill me, just fuck me first. Some dude said to a Mystique cosplayer.
Oh my goodness, sir. Oh,
boy.
Would you like to handle my gems? Wow.
That's basically just rape. Like, anytime you use kill me and fuck me in a sentence is rape, as far as I'm concerned. I feel like that's in the definition of rape.
Good grief, man. Fucked.
Like, just don't. Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry. There's one other thing I got to bring up, too. This is just my fault. I didn't realize that they were this big. I guess I should have known. Power Rangers are apparently still huge.
They're back with Avengers. They got a new version.
Yeah, not only do they still have them, but I swear there were dudes running around as Power Rangers and having fun with it. I mean, it is like
they had their 20th anniversary not too long ago.
Yeah. Oh, they were
the 20th anniversary.
Yeah, huge at New York.
Yeah, I had no idea, man.
Well, I had no idea either. I mean, because we're everywhere. Growing up, like Power Rangers, it was that thing to make fun of to me.
Right.
Power Rangers was like it's like Drake to me. It's like. I didn't understand until recently that this is actually, like, Drake is actually popular. I'm like, wait, we used to make fun of Drake. Why is he popular now? Same thing with Power Rangers. I'm like, wait, we used to make fun of Power Rangers. It's like, they were broke down Voltron. It's like, why all of a sudden are we fans?
Well, I think we just barely missed out on that generation. Like, I think if you're a couple years younger than us, then Power Rangers was your jam.
Yeah, I like Power Rangers.
Yeah, and then also, for me, mine wasn't Power Rangers. It was Pokemon.
Yeah,
I was on for a while.
Pokemon still comes on.
They still come on, but Pokemon was the first ever cartoon that I guess my mind checked out of because I immediately was like, these motherfuckers are only trying to sell these toys. Like, they don't even care about the story. Like, they were just like, what other
in his adventures?
No, because what other cartoon had the audacity for the toys to only say the toy's name? Cartoon, like even Transformers, it wasn't like Sunstreaker. Like this shit was like it was this shit. Pikachu. You go to the store. What does your kid want? Pikachu. He knows the name for every fucking thing. Squirtle. 100 fucking times. You hear Squirtle 75 times an episode. You are going to want a Squirtle when you walk past.
When I was young, I had a Jigglypuff collection because I loved all things.
Girls love Jigglypuff.
And he sings. He was crooning. He was the first Drake of his time.
I think he would like have a freak out if you didn't listen to his song, even though clearly he must know that his song puts people asleep. So he would just have a bitch fest and start slapping people.
Mm-hmm.
I just love that Jigglypuff was clearly mentally unstable.
Yeah, and trying to sell those fucking toys, man. I'm just saying.
What? I would be a Pokemon fan if the show hadn't become just so redundant. They actually had some stuff that could have been a great anime, as far as I'm concerned. The concept of what they're doing is one, it's so anime. Two, it has that fantastical element to it.
Yeah,
and they're just clear adventures that Ash and them could have had, but they got so lazy with the writing for the show. After
it was one of those shows.
It was next level cockfighting.
The only thing worse than that was Beyblade, which is spinning top fighting.
I've seen that bullshit.
Which doesn't make sense to me because
I don't understand that show.
Because people will buy the spinning tops, and I'm like, you do know that unlike the show, you don't coach the top. Like, you can't actually be like, now spinning top, spin the other way. Like, it's a spinning top, dog. Why are you spending money on this shit? But
I was curious about the characters of Pokemon too, like the actual Pokemon. I was like, so like the evolution Like, how does that work? It's such a good concept for a very in-depth show.
Yeah.
And they just did lazy, and they just wanted to keep adding unnecessary Pokemon after
Pokemon was one of the few shows where you could miss 3 weeks of shows, come back, and didn't miss a fucking thing.
At all. He did this shit because Ash is still fighting with the same Pikachu.
Yes.
Because he didn't want to turn into Raichu.
Right.
Like, you know what?
Do they ever die? I haven't figured
did
that
Pikachu
out.
Did Pikachu ever evolve?
No, not Ash's Pikachu. It's still the same one 25 years later.
You know who's the worst, dog? Not the worst. You know who's the best, though? Squirtle, man. Squirtle had a bad attitude.
No, it was Charmander that had the bad attitude. Like, Charmander came in as an asshole.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then got stronger and did shit to Ash and them just to do it. Like, setting them on fire and stuff.
Yeah.
Just to fuck with them.
No. Charmander was murderous. Squirtle had a bad attitude. He would just be like, Squirtle. Like, he just, like, it was just the way he said his name. It was just so angry. Like, I'm convinced Squirtle was the black Pokemon. Cause he was just like.
He was bald headed with a shell on his back.
Yeah.
And there was a Squirtle gang.
Yeah, they had a gang.
They had sunglasses.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm convinced they was black, dog. Squirtle was black. Look, I was gonna do a whole bunch of stories and shit, but, I really wanted to talk about Comic-Con, so.
Me too.
Either people are gonna love this episode of Nerd Off, or they're gonna fucking hate it, cause,
episode, so I don't understand why they would hate it.
Can I just, really Nerd Off. Before we end it, can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
Like, I know you and Karen are talking about going to Comic-Con and stuff like that. I recommend people go. I mean,
yeah.
This is only the second Comic-Con I've been to. Like I said, the first one I've gone to was press, but I really enjoyed it. I mean, if you go with people you know, it's a fun experience. And like I said, you get to meet, like, the first post I wrote, like, what I like doing when I go to Comic-Con, I love being on the floor, but I like going and looking at the artwork and the different posters and things like that. You can find some really cool stuff. I mean, it's...
They had people drawing stuff there on spot.
Right.
Like,
I mean,
comic stuff. That was really dope.
Right. If you're into any kind of nerds, you'll be able to find it. You know, you'll find whatever... I mean, we didn't even talk about the cars they had there.
Oh, nigga, the Spectre car? I have a picture of that. I need to post it.
They have Lola from Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. was there. They had different places to do. Like, I got my Thor's hammer. I had pre-ordered a year ago. It was actually on my doorstep when I got back home,
mm-hmm.
From Comic-Con. But the EFX was there with their collectibles. I mean, they had so much stuff there for you to go to find. So even if you don't buy it, you can at least take pictures of it and enjoy it. I mean, they had some Alex Ross posters that were prints that were up $2,300. They were selling them, but they were beautiful. I mean, they were just amazing. Yeah. So you have all this stuff there. I mean, it's just really like I said, we didn't even do a panel. So, like, next year if we go, hoping there's at least three of us, I'm hoping that Kev can go this time, so we can have three people, one person doing interviews, one person on the floor, and one person actually going to the panels, because we didn't touch any panels this year.
Everybody's talking about that, but you know, you people, like, depending upon what state you're in, like, if you're in D.C. and you're in Atlanta, or especially if you're in Atlanta, New York, California, they have cons all the time for a bunch of different stuff. Like, there was a zombie con going on while we were doing A3C, and I didn't even realize it till we got back. But another one, if you want to start off small, man, is PAX, especially, and if you're a video gamer. And I kind of more like PAX. I like PAX a little bit more than Comic-Con because I like the panels that PAX does, and I'm more invested in the gaming culture than I am in the comic book culture. I just got into the comic book culture.
I've always wanted to go to PAX, but, like, the owners keep being dumbasses and making me not want to contribute to them in any way, shape, or form financially.
What are they doing?
Yeah, you haven't heard about that whole Dick Wolves, I hate trans people. Well, not I hate trans people, but they had one of the owners just, he doesn't know how to be the public face of.
He's not a PR
company.
Person. Oh,
yeah, because, I mean, they had one comic on Penny Arcade, which, you know, personally I wasn't offended by.
Mm-hmm.
But it was about, basically the joke was, in role-playing, like massive role-playing RPGs, you're only doing the quest because you want the loot, not because you're a good person.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy is supposed to be a little character, he did the quest, he got the loot, and then the person he's helping is like, oh, well, you know, can you save us? Because, you know, I know you got this one thing, but if you keep doing this, then maybe we'll stop being raped by the dick wolves and they won't eat our children. And the guy just goes, whatever, got my loot, bye. And that was his joke. Yeah.
Oh,
but
that is, that
said, you know, as a person who's survived sexual assault, I kind of feel like making, rape the part of this joke is kind of diminishing rape as a bad thing.
I will say that is a good joke.
What went wrong was instead of going, oh, well, that wasn't our intention.
Right. They tried to double down.
They basically just said, I don't know why you're offended. If you're offended, you're stupid. And then they made like Dick Wolves shirt.
Yeah.
See.
Which is, the Dick Wolves were the rapists. If you're saying you're not supporting rapists, making the Go Dick Wolves shirt seems a bit off.
Yeah, that's funny though, because this week we were actually talking about how sometimes you can do something that isn't even that fucked up. Like it was the Saturday Night Live not having black women on there, where honestly a no comment or a we should look into that would have been way better than a there are no funny black women that are qualified to be on this show. It's like the one wrong answer you could have is, yeah, it's impossible for us to find any funny black women, and we all know this, right?
Yeah, that's a whole different
Who did the comic?
Gabe and whatchamacallit.
Oh, from Penny Arcade.
Yeah, well, that's what PAX stands for.
I've always read their comics, and I love them because they are dicks, and they always make, like, the Fruit Ninja rape joint. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they always do that. I am not surprised that they responded that way, because while I like them, they are huge dicks.
Yeah, the thing is, I don't want to give huge dicks my money.
Right, exactly.
That's why everyone's, oh, are you going to PAX East? No. Are you going to PAX West? No.
Mm-hmm.
Not going.
Yeah, it's like they made one of the best Mass Effect comics after Mass Effect 3, and where everybody was pissed when they made the joke about there's not gonna be like a rainbow cupcake birthday party at the end, and that's why everybody was so mad. And I was like, yeah, that exemplifies exactly how I feel. I just don't read their shit often like that. I had no idea they made that joke or like double down.
Survivor of sexual assault wasn't that offended.
Yeah.
Like, I get the person's point, but, I wasn't that offended by it. It was just their reaction to it. And then the fact that he said, oh, well, apologizing it for what we did was a mistake.
Wow.
When they apologize for the Go Dick Wolf shirts, the shirt is saying Go Rapist.
Yeah.
And then they apologized for it.
For the shirt
panel at this PAX to say, yeah, that was a mistake. We shouldn't have apologized.
Wow. Yeah.
If you really think that your Go Rapist shirt is cool, that's fine. But I'm not giving you any of my money.
Yeah, but you know what? That also exemplifies what we talked about earlier with the whole culture of like these guys are like, we're the good guys. We're nerds. We're the ones who got beat up. We're not. We know how to respect and retreat. And then you're just like. But you get in front of this panel, all of a sudden you're just as much a dude, bro, as every frat guy at every party ever. Because
it's just
got your boys cheering you on, and you got a room full of sweaty dudes.
They just don't have the power to do what they want to do. But if they did, they would do it in a heartbeat,
right?
And that's what they're not fooling anybody out of believing. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I get it. Like the motherfuckers, I've never shot anybody. Yeah, that's just because you never had a gun in your hand. As soon as you get one, though, you're gonna go on a fucking rampage, you dick.
Yep.
That's how it is.
Yeah, go ahead, Ken.
And I do have a question I wanted to ask y'all. When we do go, is it better to pay for the more expensive tickets, and which location is better?
San Diego is the biggest one. New York is the smaller, the convenient one, and always get the, if you get the tickets early, they're always way cheaper, and just go ahead and get the full pass for whatever days, because you never know when you might change and show up.
Well, for you guys, I would say you guys could probably do press. So you guys could probably have, and I would say do New York first, because even San Diego's, we're going to try to go to San Diego next year, but Nerd Apocalypse hit us up. He was actually there on Saturday with us. He told us that he was just amazed that we had our own little press area, because he was like, they don't do this in San Diego. So I think if you're going to do something, do New York first to get it, because I like it. It's cheaper to get out to New York than it is to get out to San Diego. It's smaller, and I feel like it's a little bit easier. Like I said, if we could get our press passes, I'm pretty sure when they open up the press, you could probably do it. You could probably apply too. And I think you guys could also be able to get press passes. And it's fun. Start small and then work your way. Like I said, I've done Baltimore before, mm-hmm. and I did New York Comic-Con this year, and I'm going to try to aim for San Diego next year. But I heard San Diego is so big. Like, I feel like New York
is
big.
Industry at this point.
Right. It's like New York is still, it's a lot of people, but it still like feels like it's about the people. I feel like San Diego is going to be so big that, like you said, it's going to be industry and it's not going to have the same feel.
Yeah. San Diego Comic-Con also is like,
it's almost not nerdy anymore.
Yeah. At this point,
anything on the floor on San Diego Comic-Con.
Exactly. At this point, they're just doing shit like announcing Windows 8 at San Diego Comic Con.
Yeah, announcing the new Walking Dead. Like when the one out there, everybody came back and it was making all these big announcements. So I don't know if people use this to make big announcements.
Well, Walking Dead is, you know, a comic book, but are like, a movie's coming out, and the movie might not even be a comic book movie.
Oh,
but
it's just like, okay.
But that's why you want to choose the smaller cons than if you never. Like I said, I have been to PAX a couple times. I've been through the Baltimore Giant, and I've seen some other ones. I kind of made the decision for New York Comic Con because I was like, okay, let me see what this bigger shit is like. And I think after I do San Diego, that'll probably be it for me doing like huge Comic Cons because it's such a hassle.
Yeah.
That you can't see everything you want to see, and you can't get to every panel you want to get. Versus the smaller ones have more focused panels. They're more interactive with the people that show up.
Mm.
You know, like one of the PAX panels I went to was about raging online, like racism and homophobia and the way women are treated. And it was just a group of guys that put it together in their mid-20s, and they just kind of wanted to talk about it. And they were nobody. Like, nobody knew who they were. They weren't popular or anything. But because of the topic, mm-hmm. their room was full. Like, they had to turn people away. And dude even showed up. He was like, holy shit, I didn't expect this to happen. You know, I kind of thought we'd have a small discussion group.
Well, that's dope, actually, man. That's like, I'm waiting for HentaiCon. So I'm looking into that. So if anybody knows of some good...
Gadget is out there somewhere.
You go to Exotica. Exotica,
okay.
Adult Con.
Is that Exotica with three X's?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I might have to check that out because, you know, that's...
They usually have a couple of booths with anime and that kind of stuff. Not the whole thing.
Okay, I want to see, like, some tentacle cosplay. You know, like, that would be cool.
That I haven't seen yet, though. I actually want to do a panel for one of the Exoticas where I talk about, like, the history of, like, Japanese porn and Japanese animation porn.
Mm-hmm.
But usually when I go, I teach a class, and then everybody's like, oh, I thought we see your tits. So, I don't know how that's
going out. I'm telling you, go to NYCC and go to those little, the fringe areas. You'll get as close as you can to that in a Comic-Con, I'm telling
you. Okay, cool. I kind of want to see tentacles.
I know, Anime Next, they had the hentai tent.
Okay.
Where they checked when you get your ticket, you could check if you're 18 and older, so you'd have like a little purple square on your badge, and you had to have the purple square to get to that one little tent.
Well, I think I just found my first con. Well, I appreciate y'all coming through and explaining Comic-Con for us, man. I'll probably have to do a Nerd Off during the middle of the week or something because I have at least 20-something articles I didn't get to, guys. And I'm sorry that we didn't get to those, but this is very fucking interesting to me.
Me too.
You can find Jayla on Twitter at BlazingBitch and also BlazingBitch.com.
Bitch with a Y.
Yeah, with a Y. And don't forget also, After Dark is back. So just talking about that sex. Did you guys give away?
We gave away a Wii Vibe Thrill, which is the newest Wii Vibe pleasure device. And I'm actually packing it up right before we started this. And I'm looking for all like extra goodies I have to put in there. I think we're going to give them like a whole pack of flavored lube.
Putting a bunch of stuff in that box to go in someone's box. I hear you. And then we also got, of course, Brandon from Where's My 40 Acres, and you can find him at Phenom Black on Twitter, PhenomBlack, no C, please.
That struggle, sir.
I don't think you spelled
it. Okay, Karen, you do it.
No,
I spelled it correctly. I just didn't do it in the right rhythm. You want
to
do it?
No.
Okay, yeah, there was no melody to that at all.
Yeah. As you can see, I don't do it every day. But also follow him on his, go to his website, The Tears of Orphans, and look at all the pictures of black Comic-Con players, or Comic-Coons, as Brandon likes to call them. And you can also go to...
This must be why my ad didn't get posted in Huffington.
Yeah, yeah. If you don't call them comic coons...
Which is weird, because their writers are coons now, yeah. So...
That's the kind of editorial that you need. Wouldn't it have been funny if you submitted that shit to Huffington Post, and they posted it with comic coons?
Nigga, if they did, like, I would have a new job, because I have a bunch of articles that they would love if comic coons works.
That would be hilarious. But,
new job. Like, I would love to be the black spokesperson coming up with shit like Comic-Coons.
Yeah. I feel like epic. I feel like that's the name of this episode now. Of course, you can check out Chris Van Sandy Report on Twitter, sandycheck.com. Thanks, man, for y'all doing the show with us.
Thank you.
And moviestrailerreviews.net for Comic-Con stuff. So.
Yeah,
I got those posts. I got two posts up there. I just did the Robot Chicken interview, and we've been posting a lot of stuff up.
Yeah, I was on an episode with that where we reviewed the season one of Angel. I mean, Arrow.
Okay. Yeah, I know you've been watching so much Netflix, dude. It's okay. I understood. Yeah, I understand where
CW you're shows. You know, but make sure you guys check them out, man.
I want to go watch the Arrow now, guys. You converted me. I'm gonna give it a try.
Yeah, Arrow is so good. You will be like, oh my god, I love y'all, and that's fine. We accept your love. All right, guys, we'll be back. I don't know, probably middle of this week, because I got to go catch up to all these articles now. But we'll be back, man. So until then, peace.